talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Welcome to Face with Weird Al Yankovic. I'm the host of the show. By using transitive logic and deductive reasoning, you should now be able to figure out exactly who I am.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Today, I was like, all right, I don't want to, like, really sound stupid when I do this show today. Like, so learn a little education on sharks. I look up sharks on the internet, and I see, like, whale sharks. I'm like, oh, that must mean a whale and a shark have sex. And then I think, well, how does a whale and a shark have sex? Because there's a thing called whale sharks. So yes. I thought they must, you know. And then I realized that whales were mammals and sharks are animals. They have nothing to do with each other. So basically, dolphins have sex with each other, but the sharks don't. So I thought, then how is it such a thing?
And now, to an out-of-this-world phenomenon in London. Phenomenon.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, we've all been there, brother. We've all been there. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show here for a Wednesday, the 17th of September. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on? How's the heat?
It's a little cooler.
Yeah? Down
it's
to,
going to be
is
a little
it under
cooler.
100 yet?
It was 80 when I left. I think it was a little warmer yesterday morning.
Okay.
Just a couple of degrees. So it's going to be like 10 degrees cooler today, I think.
That's going to feel great. Isn't it hilarious that it'll only be 100 and it'll feel good?
I know. It's nuts.
It's all what you get used to. Well, Muggs, I saw your article in Huffington Post last night.
What was
Congratulations.
That?
My article, really?
Yeah, the press you're getting for the thing that you're doing.
What did you do?
Thing.
What's your thing?
Let's have Bean further explain.
Bean,
well,
what's
I assumed it was you, and I saw the headline, Man Refusing to Shower for 128 Days Thanks to California's Drought.
Well, I only go 110.
So that wasn't you.
That wasn't me.
This is a young man named Cody Creighton. He is from Ojai. He has, as of now, not showered for 60 days and doesn't plan to again for several more months, he says, because he's trying to call attention to the California drought.
And because he likes to be a deady, deady man.
This is interesting to me because everybody knows about the California drought, right?
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. But that doesn't mean that many people, certainly not most people, have adjusted the way they use water. Don't you get the impression, Lisa, that people know the drought is a thing, but I'm not going to do anything different is how most people feel?
Well, no, because they say here in California, we've already cut back, I think, close to 20% in overall usage.
Is that because of rules against watering your lawn, for instance?
Well, there are those, yeah, for sure.
And fines, too.
Yeah. But also, I think, like, I now turn off the water when I'm shampooing. I turn the water off while I'm doing that and then turn it back on to rinse, which I didn't used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, like, in the kitchen, I'm more conscientious about washing dishes and letting the water run and stuff like that. So
you're
think a
actually
lot of people
more
are.
Aware of it and have changed your behavior. I wonder how typical you are compared to others. The drought, of course, has ravaged the state. It's the worst that's ever been recorded.
Yeah.
Entire communities are left without running water. Some of these pictures of before and after of lakes and reservoirs, it's just hard to believe the shots are taken in the same place.
Oh, and the people trying to grow crops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Creighton says that I think that people don't pay attention to the drought because as long as you know the water faucet is still working and as long as their nice car is being cleaned, they don't see it as a problem. And it is a huge problem. He's 23 years old, by the way, this young man. He originally decided to do it for a week and then he said, I can do this. And then he did it for a month. And then day 50, he launched the social media campaign. He says the average shower uses 30 gallons of water.
Yeah.
And since giving up my 2 showers a day, I've already saved an estimated 3,000 gallons of water. In honor of my 50th day of no showering, I'm asking everyone and anyone to repost this photo, tag me, and add hashtag one day dirtier in the next 48 hours. I will add one more day without showering on your behalf, saving 60 gallons of water. He's now committed to 128 days of not showering, which is a small dent in the state's water crisis, but a big statement about being mindful during the drought. I wonder if something like this, I mean, this kind of story, look, we would not have come on this morning talking about the drought, so maybe the effect is obvious that a story like this that catches people's eye gets them to at least think about it for a minute.
Can't hurt. Does he have a job?
It doesn't say that he has a job or a girlfriend. I was wondering the same thing.
Yes.
This article in the Huffington Post says he reportedly does not smell or look dirty, most likely thanks to the baths he takes in swimming holes and the ocean. So he is going in water.
Okay.
So it's not like he's, you know, just packing on mud every day.
Hmm.
So,
well, that's a good option.
That would help. Yeah. I mean, if you went in the ocean every day, that would at least get some of the grime off. Yeah.
You know, I do things like now I'm only washing my car every other week, and then I'm debating, am I saving water by going to a car wash or doing it at home? But I hear that's the car washes recycle?
Recycle their water, yeah. When you go through the car wash, that same water is used over and over and over again, which makes me wonder how it can be clean water. But
well, you should ask Lightning. He knows all about that stuff.
Exactly. So anyway, at least, I mean, this guy's 23 years old, Cody Creighton. I mean, he, you know, I don't know how effective it's going to be, but he's mindful of it, and he's thinking about it, and he's trying to spread the word. So I don't think I want to be the guy who goes 128 days without shower. I think that would be miserable. But he doesn't seem to mind it, so good luck to him, I guess.
Hats off.
Hats off indeed. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Okay, groovy.
We are going to give you your very last pair of tickets to tonight's Coldplay show at the Ace Hotel.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how I can win those coming up in just a few minutes. But this is it. After this morning, that's it. They're out. You can't buy them. You can win them this morning on the Kevin and Bean show. So tell everyone you know who loves Coldplay, today's the day. Bobby Slayton in studio today. He is the Pitbull of comedy. Also, our old friend Kevin Smith is going to be stopping by. We'll talk Rallycross with the legendary Travis Pastrana on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new video that's been making the rounds of a crazy road rage incident that happened in Hawaii. This is not the Aloha Spirit, this video.
Aww.
A guy cut a woman off, and she just would not get off of him. She followed him, raced up next to him, tried to run him off the road, got out of her car at a stoplight and came and started screaming at him. And it's all captured on tape. And it's been a long time since we've talked about road rage, but it's a thing. It's a thing that happens, and lots of people have been involved in it. That's for sure.
There's not a person in this city that hasn't been involved in it. I've had at least three incidents. Me.
Exactly. You, yes. The most peaceful person in the world.
I drive a Prius, for God's sakes.
So we're going to talk about that as well. And Ralph's got the showbiz beat, too. And that's what's up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey!
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 Ugh,
hey!
You're all awful. You're all awful.
Get on with it.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Get on with it.
What's going on, buddy?
We'll do it live.
How you doing?
We'll do it live.
What's new?
I'm just looking over this press release I got. They want me to tell people
yes.
that there is a new weight loss show on NBC. It's a spinoff of Biggest Loser called, hold on a second, Wait for Love. Wait for Love.
Wait for, is it a combination
for love.
Dating and weight loss show?
No, it's for couples who need to lose 100 pounds or more, both of them. The spouse or significant other. And the other person, both have to lose over 100 pounds. And NBC will take you and separate you and make you lose weight at gunpoint or something. And then they'll put you back together again. And then there's a big reveal where you see each other for the first time with all your weight off.
All right.
And you realize that you loved each other more the other way.
Is what happens if one person loses the weight and the other one doesn't?
Oh, snap. Then just, you go to Temptation Island.
Divorce? Oh, Temptation Island.
Or
okay,
Bachelor in Paradise. I'm not sure.
So you're able to upgrade your spouse if he or she is still a fat ass and you're
right.
All buff, right?
Exactly. Then they lose and you win.
Would that be the coolest if they did have that?
No,
as a
that
feature?
Would not be the coolest.
It'd be the coolest.
Breaking up couples would not be the coolest.
They would say, look, we're separating you guys for 3 months. Whoever does it, whoever loses the most weight gets to upgrade their spouse to this hottie over here.
Horrible,
now you've got some real incentive.
Person.
I would watch that show.
Maybe the incentive is to be happier and healthier with your spouse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one option, I guess.
Anyway, if you're a giant fat ass and you need to lose a whole ton of weight, as does your boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, or husband, then go to these people. Wait
right.
for Love Casting. That's WEIGHT, Wait for Love Casting, @gmail.com. Send them all your information, and they will put You in the front of the line for casting, by the way, if you are a K-Rock listener.
Oh, wow.
So put K-R-O-Q and pick us in the subject line of that email, and you'll get to the front of the line for when they cast people. The casting's happening this Saturday, September the 20th, at the Boys and Girls Club of Venice, California. So send them an email if you're interested, and they'll give you all the details, and maybe you can lose some weight, and so can your significant other, and then everyone will be happy and
fantastic.
And Bean will be upset because people are staying together.
Well, if you have the chance to upgrade, I mean, what's the point of losing all the weight if you're not going to upgrade?
Guardians of the Galaxy fans can now rejoice. What did you think, Bean? What did you think of that movie?
I liked it very much. No, I didn't see it. I heard
How
it
could
was
you
terrific.
Not see Guardians of the Galaxy?
I don't really go to the theater very much. I really don't. I have heard nothing but great things.
Great
Everyone
film.
Who went to see it thought it would be good, and it was even better.
Yes, it's terrific. It's a great film. So why are you not enjoying that experience?
I believe that it will be available in other formats, on DVD or streaming or digitally.
Yeah, but that's not the big screen.
Some way soon.
The big theatrical experience.
I'm not a guy who needs that. I honestly don't.
You
I don't
went
really...
to Alabama to see a bronze peanut.
I don't need to be in a room with 50 other people in order to enjoy a movie. I really don't. I can actually just watch it on my TV screen and be happy.
But what about the experience of seeing it on a big screen with the sense around sound?
It makes
and
a big difference.
A big difference, especially in a film like this.
Yeah maybe it does. But
Not
I mean,
maybe, it does. It's science.
Ralph, you have to admit, home theater systems have gotten pretty decent now. I've got a pretty
none
good
of them
TV,
are comparable
pretty good sound.
To a high-quality theatrical experience.
I agree with you that I might gain something from a theater experience, but I also gain something seeing it the way that I will eventually see it.
Yes, loneliness and sadness is what you gain.
He embraces that. You know.
What is going on with Guardians? What's the news?
Well, everyone loves Groot. Groot
yes.
is the breakout
the
character
tree,
of the
right.
year from the show. And so now a web developer named Ricky Robinette has created an opportunity for you to make your dreams come true. You can text Groot. There's a phone number, 866-740-4531. You send Groot a text, and Groot will text you back.
Huh, I wonder what he'll say when he writes you back.
Yeah, here's the only thing. If you've seen the film, you know the only thing that Groot says is, I am Groot.
Yes.
So no matter what you text to this phone number, it comes back on your phone. I am Groot. What are you doing? What is this? Stop it. That's not a real thing. Just it's a program that replies, I am Groot.
Now, forgive
That's
my
not
dumb
Groot.
Question.
I'm not talking forgive, to Groot.
Forgive my dumb question, Ralph, because I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
But are there people who understand different meanings from Groot? Even though he only says to our ears, I am Groot, are there other people who can interpret different things that he's saying?
His buddy Rocket. Rocket Raccoon understands what he means
okay.
when he talks to him. Or at,
like
least,
when,
or at, least,
like
at
when,
least it pretends to.
Like when Chewbacca makes his all of his noises that are just noises to us, it seems like Han Solo can speak that language.
Han Solo does speak that language, yes. But Groot is just saying, I am Groot, but apparently
he says it in many different ways.
Rocket at least understands what he's trying to say because they seem okay. to have full conversations.
So you're for or against texting Groot?
I'm against it. It's just okay. silly. I am Groot. Hey, okay. Hey, Groot's on your radio. Talk to Groot. Say something to your radio. He'll talk back to you. I'm Groot. See? That's all that is. And congratulations to Eva Mendes and Ryan Gosling. They now have a tiny, teeny, little, bitty Hollywood princess at home. Multiple sources are saying the longtime daters have welcomed a baby girl into the world last Friday. No word yet on what her name will be, but I'm guessing they both seem like down-to-earth people. I'm guessing this will be a normal name.
Yeah. That's
Has she gotten a modeling contract yet?
She doesn't, and there's no song that she's co-written yet or anything, but apparently she's a doll. With those two, you can imagine genetics was kind to
Yeah, you can't go wrong there.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were born on today, September the 17th. Comedian Bobby Lee. Frequent guest of the Kevin Bean Show, 42 years old today. Malik Yoba celebrates his 47th birthday. He's a good actor. Kyle Chandler, of course, the coach from Friday Night Lights, 49 years old today. Director Baz Luhrmann turns 52 years
old. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it.
That's a song that he did a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It's not him saying those words, but...
I love that he didn't write the song and didn't record the song,
no.
yet he still got all the credit for the song.
He turned on a switch somewhere, I think.
Right.
And a legendary TV host, Elvira, mistress of the dark, Cassandra Peterson, former K-Rock DJ.
Celebrates, I love her so much.
Her 63rd birthday today. She's a pretty good 63, yeah. By the way. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bobby Slayton, the pit bull of comedy, joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, writer, director, actor, podcaster Kevin Smith will be here, and the great Travis Pastrana as well. So a pretty good show. By the way, tomorrow, Lisa.
Yes.
Bono.
Sweet.
What's up with that? I wonder if he's going to give us some free stuff.
I don't know.
Like U2
does.
Maybe,
yeah. Let's ask.
So tomorrow, like 7 o'clock, Bono is going to be on the show. Very excited about that. All right, we have given away the tickets for the Robbie Gordon's Stadium Super Trucks. We're going to clear those lines now and open up the phones again to talk to you about road rage. Lisa, you were saying earlier, there's no one in Southern California who hasn't been at least near road rage. It happens on the streets every day, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody has escaped it.
It is. We're going to be taking your calls if you've ever been involved in a road rage situation. You were the rager, or you were the rage-e, or you saw it unfold in front of you. We want to hear what happened at 1-800-520-1067. This is in the news right now because of a viral video out of Hawaii. There's a guy who put the video up online. He says that it sounded to me like he was behind a woman who was not paying attention to the traffic that was moving. He said was looking down at her phone or something in her car and wasn't moving when a light changed. So apparently he went around her. There was a car and a half's worth of space in front of her car. So he went around her and got in front of her. Then he noticed in his rearview mirror that she was screaming at him, that she was furious that he had gotten in front of her. So she tries to pass him and you saw the video, Lisa. It's
yes.
A very narrow road with cars going back and forth in both directions.
It's just one lane each direction, really.
Yes. So she tries to go around him, isn't successful at going around him, and then eventually it does open up to two lanes, and she goes past him and gets in front of him at a light. And then she gets out of her car at the stoplight and comes up to his car window and starts screaming at him. And at some point, by the way, reaches inside the car and tries to hit him. So at some point, he gets the bright idea that he is going to roll tape on this because he can't believe that this is happening. And by the way, I think that's a pretty smart idea to roll tape on something like this, not knowing how it's going to escalate or what's going to happen.
If she starts reaching in the car and grabbing him and stuff, that's good to have evidence.
And I'm going to tell you what happened to her after this video went viral. But here's just a little bit. And we'll put on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, we'll put the whole video for you to see it. But here's a little bit of Kimberly Ong, 45 years old. And I know your favorite part, Lisa, who has a child in the car with her.
A young child is in the car.
Is screaming at this guy who she thinks cut him off. Listen up.
Mom, and what a wonderful example to her son.
How old do you think your kid is?
That was so dangerous, what she did. I don't know, like 6?
Yeah.
Something like that. He's young. Yuck. I think I heard him in there at one point go, Mom.
But old enough to know what's going on and old enough to know how uncool his mom is.
Oh, my God.
I love that she goes right for fatty, fat, fat. I love that, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
Well, the video went viral. Her name is Kimberly Ong, as I mentioned, and she turned herself into police as a result of all the attention, and she has been arrested on suspicion of unauthorized entry of a motor vehicle, which is, I guess, because she put her hands in the window like that.
Yeah.
That is a Class C felony. She says, I don't totally 100% regret it. Although I guess I could have maybe chose some better words, but I was extremely angry.
Well, look, we all get really, really mad. But escalating it like that, she could have had a terrible accident. And she stopped her car at the corner and got out, turned off the engine. I mean, she did so many stupid, terrible things, even if he was a jerk.
That's right. That's right. There's an awful lot of things that could have gone wrong. And by the way, it's 2014. Lots of people have guns, too.
Yeah, that's true.
And you don't know who those people are, and you don't know what their reaction is going to be to you coming up to them and putting your face in their car window.
Yeah.
No matter how mad you are, is it worth getting shot over? Because I would think that would be a real – look, in Florida, she probably would have been shot if she had pulled the same stunt in this traffic,
and
right?
He would have been like – they go, okay, she tried to get in your car.
That's right. You felt like you were at risk.
Yeah.
So that's a crazy road rage story. As I said, the viral video is up. We'll put it up if it's not already on the Kevin Bean Facebook page. But we wanted to hear from you, especially here in Southern California. Everybody who's been involved in a situation like this and on, you know, either on one side of the raging or just as a witness. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Let's find out what happened. Why don't we start with our man Jacob calling us from San Pedro. He's on line 4. Hey, Jacob. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Lisa?
Hi there.
Hey, so what happened?
So, here I am. Here I'm going down the infamous 405 and behold the bumper traffic coming home on peak hours. And you could see some lady. She's got about 5 car lengths in front of her. And I didn't know the lady at the time, so I'm driving by. I get to where I could finally go around. She's got her nose just stuffed in her freaking phone.
Mm.
So I roll down the window. I go, get off your explicit phone. She startles, looks up, proceeds to flip me off.
Of course.
Gave her the freaking I love you too back. And then she proceeds to try to freaking ram my car. Like we're in some kind of freaking demolition derby.
So, I mean, literally, she drove her car into your car, hit your car?
She swerved into my lane. And the pastor just sat there and laughed about it. And then they proceeded to take a picture of me on their phone. So there's a picture of me out there on Instagram somewhere flipping them off. So
was there any damage done to your car?
No. But I almost got me swerving out of the way. I almost swerved in the next car, so everybody kind of did the old domino effect. I swerved.
So this is literally the type of thing, because you yelled at her for being on her phone, literally multiple people could have been involved in a traffic accident.
Well could have just driven away.
Driven away, that's right. Wow, that's scary. So let me ask you this question then. Was it a mistake for you to roll down your window and scream at her to put down her phone?
No, I feel like I'm doing a civil service by doing that.
Yeah, but you could have caused like a multi-car crash.
I mean, looking at the way it happened, now that you know what her reaction was, don't you think maybe you would have been better off to just go around her and not engage?
No, I think I would have taken my old sandwich and eat for lunch that day and threw it out her window.
Oh, my God.
All right. Then
she would have had to pull over.
Jacob learned his lesson.
And everybody should be off the freeway, right?
Thanks for the call, dude. Appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Your road rage stories when we return on K-Rock.
When you cut me off, I almost wrecked you, asshole! Film that! God
don't touch me!
Really?
Don't touch me!
You're the one who caused the wreck!
And by the way, you're fat! That's the delightful, the lovely Kimberly Ong, native of Hawaii there, now under arrest, by the way, for unauthorized entry of a motor vehicle in Hawaii, as the way she reacted to a road rage incident on the streets in a viral video that's up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page right now. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 of your road rage incidences. Everybody has been close to one if you drive for any length of time, particularly in Southern California. Let's start with David. He's on line 2. He's in Upland. Lisa, we were talking about how quickly these incidents can escalate.
Yes.
David's story involves a knife. Hey, David.
Hi, Bean. Good morning, Mr. May.
Hi, David.
What's going on, buddy?
All right. Well, a couple of months back, my godfather was cut off on the freeway, and the guy started flipping him off and cursing at him. So my godfather pulled off this side of the road and pulled out his knife.
So your godfather was the one who how did he get the other guy to pull over so that he could pull a knife on him?
The guy was in, like, the farthest lane to the curb, and my godfather got around him and kind of, like wedged his car.
Boxed him in.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I'm not talking, like, a little Swiss Army knife. I'm talking a hunting knife.
So what did he do with the knife? Did he present it just to scare the crap out of the guy, or was his intention to use it?
It was just to scare the crap out of them. Just basically to say, like, hey, there's crazy people on the road. Like,
and I'm one of them.
Yeah, I'm one of them. So obviously, don't do that again.
So what happened? What was the guy's reaction to the knife?
The guy was crying.
Did he apologize?
First he started crying, then he just kept saying, don't kill me. That basically ended it. He just said, you know what, just don't do that again. And Godfather got in the car, sped off.
Unbelievable.
I bet he won't do it again.
Yeah, no, I bet never, he won't. Never. I don't know. I mean, based on the couple of calls we've taken here, I don't know that it's worth reacting to. Even if you're in the right and you're slighted on the road, I don't know that it's worth reacting to. I almost think it's worth just drive on and forget about it.
Well,
people
could have taken pictures of him out there with a knife and his license plate. He could have been arrested.
Oh, a lot of bad things. And again, what did I say last time? A lot of people have guns. This guy your godfather pulled a knife on could have had a gun. And that could have turned bad fast. So thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. Wow, we got some great calls here. A lot of people have stories of maybe some poor choices out on the road. Let's go to George. He's in North Hollywood. He's up next. He's on line 5. Hey, George, thanks for hanging on, man. What happened?
Nothing. I was at Westminster a few years back with one of my ex-girlfriends and my son as we were driving down the road taking the speed limit. This guy, older guy, maybe in his 60s, 50s at least, pulls up next to me, yells at me, tells me, move faster, and just verbally just starts to tell me off. And I'm just like, okay, I'm not even going to make a scene about it. Then I have a lady come up next to me. She's like, you know what? Don't worry about him. He cut me off down the road. He made a big scene with me, too. And I say, you know what? It's not even worth it because I have my son with me and, you know, we're on our way to the beach. And as soon as I make a turn, me not knowing where the guy went, the guy ends up making a turn where I turned, literally stops right in front of me, like dead on my tracks, and either I was going to hit a curb or I was going to hit a car, gets out, and then starts yelling at me again, telling me, like, what is your problem? Why are you following me? And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm on my way to the beach, and you're the one who's driving all recklessly, and now you almost caused me to get into an accident.
Wow. Oh, this guy's nuts.
Yeah, so he was in the mood to fight somebody that day, and he was just going to yell at anyone he could.
He was cutting through traffic. Like, I mean, Beach Boulevard on Westminster is actually pretty packed once you get close to the beach. And
sure.
He was literally going to the center divider, the shoulder. I was trying to rush to do something. So once
that's crazy.
Once I lost track of him, like I said, I just ignored it, continued on with my day. And as soon as I turn into a street, he's right there. He gets out of the car, starts going off on me. And I'm like, okay. So I ended up taking a twist to where I got out of the car. And once he saw that, he went into his car, tried to drive away. And as soon as he did that, he hit me with his car with a side mirror.
Oh,
so at least an accident finally did happen. You guys tried really hard to make sure an accident would at some point happen in this story, and it did.
And
unbelievable.
The R part was it was in a street where like there was rarely anybody there.
Mm. Wow. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's do Sandra real quick. She's online too. She's in Pomona. We haven't had any girl road rage stories yet, and I know that they're out there because Sandra's got one of them. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hi. One day it was in the middle of the day. And I was driving down the street, stop at a stoplight, the lights are on red, she's on her cell phone. I go to, the light turns green, she's kind of sits there for about 15, 20 seconds, doesn't move, so I kind of honk. She continues her conversation, so I proceed to go around her, and we're going up like a school zone. So she proceeds to take off, bolt, and try and catch me, so she catches up to me, hits the side of my car. She has like a Nissan Altima. I have an off-road vehicle with steel bumpers and sliders. So she rams the side of my car, creases the whole side of the driver's side of her car, and then we're doing probably in a school zone, and it's on a weekend, doing about 25, 30 down the school zone. There's those speed bumps. In mm-hmm.
Speed bumps, sure, yeah.
They're pretty big. We hit it doing, mine will just fly over it. We did it. We hit him about doing 35. She bottomed out and lost the front end of her car.
Yay!
She had a kid in the car.
Oh my god!
She was put in a back seat of the in a car seat.
And did you just wave and drive on?
I sure did. I kind of smiled and waved and kept going.
That's unbelievable.
What is wrong?
And right? By the way, I'm glad you called, Sandra. Thanks so much. This is a tiny percentage of people who are out on the roads every single day telling their experiences. Imagine how many of these are going on every single day.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
All right. I can't say goodbye to this topic until we talk to Rich. He'll be our last call in Thousand Oaks. He's on line three. His story does involve that gun being pulled that we were expecting anywhere along the way. Rich, what happened, man?
Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
On my way home from work, stopped at a stoplight, and just so happens a buddy of mine was right next to me on my left. Didn't notice the light had turned green. I hear this honking behind me, so I look back, and I look up, and I notice it's green, and so I wave out the window kind of acknowledging, hey, I'm leaving, sorry.
Yeah.
Pull away. And as I'm pulling away, this guy accelerates. Goes past me, starts slamming on his brakes. I'm going, what the hell's going on?
So he's ticked at you for not getting out of the light fast enough. He goes around you and now forces you to slow down and stop.
Exactly. So he keeps slamming on his brakes. I end up going around him. And as I go past, my passenger says, hey, Rich, he's looking for something. And all of a sudden he says, oh, he's got a gun.
Oh, my God.
So sure enough. We get to the next light, and the guy pulls up on my passenger side, and he has a gun. He points it at my passenger and is threatening to shoot us. And I'm trying to get the hell out of there, so I'm watching the light. So as soon as the next light turns green, I leave. He proceeds to get in front of me and slam on his brakes again. I'm done, so I pull off to the side of the road and stop. He pulls off probably 30 or 40 feet in front of me, gets out of the car, walks back towards me with the gun pointing right at me. And I open my door and stand inside my door as he's walking towards me. He gets literally within 5 feet of me, and he's got the gun pointing right at my head, telling me how he's going to blow my brains out because I'm a punk. I shouldn't have flipped him off. You know, you're an a-hole.
Oh, he thought you flipped him off when you were, like, waving?
Exactly.
Oh. So what happened? Then this all makes sense.
So what happened, Rich?
How dare you?
So I'm trying to calm the guy down. As he's bringing his hand down to his side, he ends up putting the gun in a holster behind his back, and I didn't know this, but I noticed as his hand came back, it was empty. I punched him. And I ended up knocking the guy out with one punch. He fell on his back. We got in our car, took off. He ended up shaking it off, following us.
Oh!
We called the cops, and turns out he was an off-duty drunken CHP officer.
No kidding.
He was drunk.
By the way, why did you decide to hit him once the thing had been de-escalated? Once he put the gun away and the conversation had been had, why did you try to make it worse?
It was instinct. My protective instinct went into full blow.
But that's not a protective instinct. That was a situation that had already been finalized. It had been muted. The worst part was over, and then you started it back up again.
In my mind, this guy was completely irrational, and he was going to pull a gun out at any second again. And I wasn't going to let that happen.
All right. Did you learn anything from this experience? Has it changed your behavior on the road at all?
I learned that the cops take care of the cops because they ended up trying to brush it off, and the guy never got arrested.
Wow. I can't believe that. He pulled
that is a crazy
gun
story.
On you.
Yeah,
so
that's
actually what I did
crazy.
Is I went to Channel 2, and I went to Channel 7, and I went to Channel 4, and I went to the LA Times, and I told them the story. And finally, after all that happened, they charged the guy because I completely blew it out.
Well, good. He shouldn't be on the road.
All right.
He should be a cop.
He ended up getting fired from the CHP.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. That entire incident in real time took less time than it took him to tell it, though. That's the only thing I'll say about that. Coming up after 7, a man who has never been accused of talking too slowly. Our friend, the Pitbull of comedy, Bobby Slayton, will be here. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday.
That's right, Bean. What's wrong with that?
Love, Bob.
Hey, listen, people. It's only 4 days left, so get on the stick.
All right, moving on.
Four days left. And what's going on? What's happening this weekend?
That's the deadline for the full funding of Samurai Cop 2 Deadly Vengeance.
Yeah, Bean.
Bean.
Sorry.
How did you not know that?
Why don't you open up a blog?
I was on vacation last week, so I missed the video vault of the original Samurai Cop, and I missed the interview you did with the star talking about the Kickstarter campaign. So I'm not as up to speed as I would like to
be.
You
are not a winner.
I am not a winner.
Those are the two best things that happened last week.
It's the greatest movie ever, right?
It is. Samurai Cop is the greatest movie ever, and they are now making a sequel, Samurai Cop 2 Deadly Vengeance. They thought he was dead. He was just cooling off. I don't even know what that means, but that's the poster. And I'm going to be in that movie. I will be sharing the screen with the samurai cop himself, Matt Hannon.
What are you playing?
I have no idea. I just gave him a bunch of money. They said they're going to write me something.
Okay.
I'm helping. I'm helping help fund Samurai Cop 2 Deadly Vengeance. So go to Kickstarter.com, type in Samurai Cop 2, and it'll come up. They're trying to raise $50,000 to fill out the budget for this film. They've raised $45,785.
All right, they're getting close.
They're about $4,000 and change off the beam. But the problem is there's only 4 days to go. So you've got to get in there and give them a couple bucks. And let's see.
Ralph, I will do that for you today.
What?
I will go and make a generous donation.
Wow. Bean Baxter, everybody. Usually he just
Well, you know I love Kickstarter.
Supports the Kickstarter pictures of corn and things like that. But this is actually something that's
I've donated
good.
To a number of Kickstarters.
I know you have. Enough, a bunch of just bizarre, weird, banal Kickstarter projects, and this one will actually...
This is the first one that doesn't involve a cow, but I'm
That's
still...
That's right. This will actually do something for somebody, so thanks so much for that. Netflix is continuing to become a TV juggernaut. They just picked up a new TV series from Judd Apatow, the guy behind such cult TV series as Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared. And, of course, Girls, you know, is a major motion picture director as well. It's called Love... And it stars Community's Jillian Jacobs.
I'm in.
Are you?
Let me Absolutely.
Tell you what it's about first. Let me tell you what it's about first.
Oh, okay.
It'll debut in 2016. It's about a couple who has to navigate the exhilarations and humiliations of a relationship. Okay, listen. It seems like every other sitcom now is going to be about, is it on the air? It's about a husband and wife have to navigate the complications of love. A man and woman live next door to each other. They have to navigate the complications of love. What happens when two people work together and they fall in love and they have to navigate the complications? But look, that's from now on, sitcoms have to be about something. You just can't put two attractive people on a TV show and just say go. It has to be about something. New rule.
I mean, I guess it is the most relatable topic in the world because it's everyone's real life, but you're right, there are a lot of them.
But my problem is, that's all it is. They don't have, like, it's not wrapped in some other sort of interesting concept for a TV
show
or something.
Right, but could you say that about New Girl? That's really all it's about, is people trying to navigate relationships.
A girl is forced to move into an apartment with three other guys. Strange girl moves into an apartment with three other guys she doesn't know. That was the initial jumping off point of that sitcom. That's an interesting comic premise for a show, I think. It's not two people fall in love and navigate the intricate contributions of love and love.
Well, I have a lot of faith in Judd Apatow, and I'm willing to give it a shot.
I'm just saying, make it about something.
Okay.
Remember the good old days of sitcoms when they were about stuff? A retired baseball player opens up a sports bar full of wacky characters. That's an idea for a show right there. That was Cheers, by the way.
Yes.
No, we got that.
I just didn't
I
know.
Knew that.
Yeah, okay.
So you got no time for... Married, for instance, as an example
just,
of
just, about
just a
people
show
who
about
are married.
People who are married. not enough to hang a plot on?
That's not a show. These people are going out and it's tricky. Fine. What's the show? Every commercial I see for the new show's going to the fall. He's single. She's single. They meet. Oh, it's crazy. Come on. Write a show.
You know what those shows need is a samurai cop.
That's what they need.
That's what they need.
He's a Bingo. Samurai cop. She's a naughty nurse.
Now you Bingo. Got something.
Bingo. That's right. Do you like what you see? Yes. Yes, I do. See, that's a sitcom. Samurai Cop meets Naughty Nurse. You don't have that by any chance over there, do you, Beer Muck?
Do you like what you see?
I love what I see.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Would you like to go out with me?
Yes, I would.
Would you like to me?
Bingo.
Bingo. See?
Yeah.
That's a sitcom.
All right. This is a serious question, Ralph. Are you a bad enough actor to be in the sequel to Samurai
Cop? Well, here's the beauty of being in Samurai Cop 2. It struck me as I was donating money to appear on the screen opposite Matt Hanna in Samurai Cop. I could do anything I want.
There's no wrong choice in a movie like that, is there?
It's going to be the most freeing experience of my professional career is that I don't have to worry about anything. I can go in there and just, I can be insane, I can be as loud as I want, or as soft as I want, or as bad, or I can do anything I want because I can't go wrong. Anything anyone's done in this franchise up to this point.
Can your choice be to only deliver your lines as Ed Wynn?
Yes, it can. That's the beauty. I can do anything I want. Oh, my goodness. Look at all these bodies, Samurai Cop. What are we going to do? They're like, cut, print, boom. I'm in Samurai Cop 2.
Well, there's no danger of a second take on a movie like that. That's for sure.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Nothing can go wrong.
People, go to the Kickstarter. Let's get this movie made.
Come on. Just for that alone. Today's celebrity birthdays, Cassandra Peterson. You may know her as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. 63 years old today. She's a
I love her.
Beautiful, talented, funny, charming woman who had her virginity taken from her by Tom Jones. It's my favorite story in the world.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah. She had to go to the hospital afterwards. I'm not kidding. God. She had to go to the hospital.
Maybe not the best?
That's how big Tom Jones is.
That's memorable.
Whoa.
And that's how much damage he did.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Well, she was also four. Let's not leave that part out of the equation.
La, 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 la. Oh, how am I going to rinse my mind out from that happening?
Boo bean.
No, she was in Vegas. She was a showgirl. And Tom Jones was performing in town. And they got together, and it was her first time.
That's the most memorable virginity story ever.
She had to go to the ER.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
Yes, it is, Doc. Film director Baz Luhrmann's 52 years old today. Did you ever see that Great Gatsby he did?
Yes,
I did.
It was
great.
An interesting film. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Kyle Chandler's 49 years old. Malik Yoba, the very talented actor, is 47. What did he see most recently that I loved? What was that sci-fi show with David Strathairn about the mutants?
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about, yeah. Damn. But I don't remember, and it doesn't matter.
I want to say Extras, but that wasn't it. Alphas. Don't call, don't write. I got it. Alphas. Loved that show. And comedian Bobby Lee celebrates his 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the hour you can win your way in. It's the final pair of tickets to Coldplay at the theater at the Ace Hotel tonight, presented by K-Rock and Beats Music. We'll give you a chance to win those in less than 30 minutes from right now. The final pair. But first, you got to sit through Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of comedy.
Bobby. I'll make it quick because I got to get back in line for my iPhone. You know, my iPhone that I have now, the 6, it's barbaric. I wish I had the money to hire somebody to carry it around. It's so heavy that I got to camp out for a month, and then I got to get in line for Iron Man 5. It's nice to know there's people worse than me that have no life out there. It's mind-boggling.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network was tweeting last night, Bobby. At 10 o'clock, he took a picture of the line that's still out in front of Dunkin' Donuts. You know, Dunkin' Donuts is new again to Southern California. And people, it seems like round the clock, are lined up to buy a donut.
Well, now
people love standing in lines these days.
Well, now's the time because, you know, you have the pumpkin donuts. And, you know, if Starbucks is out, you got to get the pumpkin before Thanksgiving's over because it's a limited time only with the pumpkin latte, the pumpkin coffee. People are insane. You know, in the last hour, by the way, in the last hour, you were talking about road rage. I'm a little high strung. You wouldn't know that from
what?
My appearance. Yeah. And you wouldn't know it from my appearances on the show because I come in here and I like to. People are driving to work and I want to relax people. But I'm a type
That's
a
what
person.
You're famous for is relax. You ease yeah. into the comedy.
Yes, exactly. I'm a type A personality and I hide it very well because I'm an actor and not just a comic. But I also have, and I think a lot of people out there, more than the road rage, is that I have the walking rage. When I'm in a grocery store or Costco, which is enough of a cluster muck, you know, and there are people that just stop in the middle with their carts and their fat asses, and you know they don't even know how to push a shopping cart. You know they're just walking in the grocery store. Last week I'm in Ralph's, and this has happened to me twice. There's a woman in front of me with a giant shopping cart full of stuff, and I went over to I had an onion, you know, and I went over to pay for the onion, and you know, and she wouldn't let me go in front of her. I said, you know, I'm kind of in a hurry. I just have an onion.
So you had one item, and she had a basket full, and you were asking if you could jump her.
There was a giant line for everything. I went to the self-check thing, and she's standing in front of me. And she goes, well, I'm in a hurry, too. But, you know, it's stuff like that that is going to give anybody walking rage. I mean, it's just, I was with my wife in the car last week, and there was a woman in front of me who wouldn't make – no, it's always a woman – who wouldn't make a right turn on a red light. And my wife goes, well, you're not in that big of a hurry. I go, it doesn't matter. It's just certain rules of the road. You know, there's no reason why she won't make the right turn on a red light. So I catch up to her at the next light, and I said, I don't know where you're from, lady, but in California, like in a lot of states, you can make a right turn on a red light. And she says to me, oh, that's just a suggestion. You don't have to do it. No, you know, and that's not enough to give
me. Look, I get your frustration, Bobby, but what are you in such a hurry for?
It's the same.
Why do you have walking and driving rage?
It's the same reason, and don't tell me you're not like this. Well, you're different than any human being I've ever met. But, okay, Ellie Mae, you're like this. What about when you're in the carpool lane and there's somebody that refuses to go 100 miles an hour? Just because you have two people or four children or nine lawnmowers, the carpool lane, and then my wife says that again. Well, they're doing the speed limit. That's not the point. It's supposed to be, if you're not going to go faster than the guy in the regular lane,
right,
then get in the regular lane.
I agree. There's no point to be in that lane.
And my wife
goes, it's supposed to be a passing lane, right?
Right. Yeah. And then she goes, well, you're not in a hurry. It doesn't matter. The rules of the road, especially in Southern California, with all the congestion, and people know they're driving now, get out of my way. You know, you don't want to make the right turn on red light.
I have the same argument, though, with my boyfriend.
Because
really? He's like you. And I go, we're fine. We're going to be early. What? Just calm down. It's
okay.
Not worth it.
Well, it's like a big fat family stuffing their fat kids' faces at McDonald's. My wife goes, why does that bother you? Because they're not your kids. It doesn't matter. It still bothers me. It bothers me when fat people are getting fatter waiting in line for Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't know what you need, Bobby, but it might be yoga. It might be meditation. It might be therapy.
No, I'll tell you
what. You can't let all these things bother you.
Yes, I can, because what's going to happen is Friday night at the Comedy Magic Club, I let it all out. And if it doesn't come all out, I'll wait till Saturday night till I'm at the Hollywood Improv, or I'll wait till next week at Irvine. We'd have to drive down there, get more road rage on that 405, which is a nightmare, and then I work at the new Irvine Improv. That's what I'm going to do, Bean.
Yeah,
I know that you are on the road a lot these days.
A lot.
So this is a rare opportunity for Bobby Slayton, Pitbull of Comedy fans, to see you locally, because you're doing a whole bunch of shows. You're pretty much everywhere in this next couple of weeks.
You know, the other night I'm watching my buddy, and I love him with a passion, that Bill Maher. And they made a big deal. Bill Maher does his show from Washington, D.C., you know, his big, you know, real time with
Bill
Maher.
Yeah, he did a stand-up special after his real time show.
He goes to change his shirt, which I don't know why he has to change his shirt, more casual Bill Maher. And then he walks across the street or a few blocks away to a theater, and he does a show. And I'm going, well, that's pretty noble. I mean, that's amazing. You do your talk show and you change your shirt, you go down the street. But you know what? I have to play in Comedy Magic Club Friday night. The traffic from the Valley is an abomination. Then I got to go home, take a shower, change my shirt, and drive back to the Hollywood Improv the next night, go to Irvine next week. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
You're practically an American hero, Bobby.
Hey, by the way, driving over here, speaking of driving, I was not even aware that Kevin wasn't here. You are so... Look, I've always loved your broadcasting skills, being, but I didn't really think you could handle this on your own. But I don't know what it is. Nobody else...
Thanks for the support. I appreciate that.
I'm doing it in a roundabout way.
Appreciate the vote.
I'm trying to support you. Okay, listen, I did the show a couple years ago, and it was just Kevin, and he did a fine job without you,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing a fine job without him. I just don't want either of you getting cocky, because what could happen to you is what happened to Abbott and Costello. Abbott and Costello, I loved Abbott and Costello. They split up. Costello went to Vegas. His act died. Abbott couldn't get any work. So I'm just saying, just don't start getting cocky here. So far, you're doing great. I'm here to help.
I appreciate the advice.
No problem. I'm
very timely Abbott and Costello reference as well, Bobby. I appreciate that. Hey, I wanted to ask you, because I was on your Twitter page preparing for your visit. I wanted to see what else you were mad about.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful photo as your Twitter avatar right now of you cheek-to-cheek with the great Robin Williams. Now, you guys were pretty close friends, right?
Yeah, that was – you know what that was? I should probably take it off already, but that was when a few years ago when I had my little residency in Vegas. I was at Hooters Casino. And, you know, Carrot Top's across the street, Penn and Teller down the street. I had a lot of competition in Vegas. And, of course, it's me and I'm at Hooters. So there's double jeopardy right there. But the shows were going great. And I think for my 50th birthday or something, Robin came in at the end of the show and presented me with a big cake, a big bone, you know, like the Pitbull of Comedy, a big giant bone cake, which was really cool. So my manager had set it up because Robin was playing across the street at the MGM. And, you know, if you look at that photo on my Twitter page, and I put it on Facebook too, even back then, now that I think about it, looking back in retrospect, you know, he always had that sad look about him. But, you know, maybe I'm just seeing that now because he's gone. But, you mm-hmm. know, Robin and I started out together. And, you know, it hit my daughter particularly hard too, because when she was a little girl, she's worse than I am with the talking. My daughter never shuts up. I think she gets that between.
How did she get a word in edgewise at your house?
I don't usually get, well, between my wife doesn't talk that much. Me and my daughter would always
double take. Well, of course she doesn't. She gave up long ago.
Yeah, she gave up long ago. Well, that's
I would have too.
Well, that's what kept us together, is that the fact that she doesn't talk a lot, you know? She tried to come in last night while I was cooking. And, you know, I cook every night. I do a bottle of wine and I cook. This is my downtime. Here's where I'm really mellow. Before 5 o'clock, I crack open a bottle of red wine and I put on I put on K-Rock, but we don't get good reception up there. I'll put on like a blues station on Pandora or something. I'll put on, you know, some old
cooking.
I'll put on Otis Redding or even Sinatra or Elvis. So, and then my wife will come in and go, you want me to help you cook? I go, no, this is my quiet time. I'm chopping my onions. This is my little Zen meditation. So last night she comes in. I think the great Otis Redding, sitting on the dock of the bay, comes on. Now, we all have those songs. It doesn't matter how many times you've heard it.
Yeah.
It might be a whole lot of Love by Led Zeppelin or Honky Tonk Women. And I'm just listening to Dock of the Bay. And I'm singing along. And my wife says to me, don't you get tired of listening to the same crap over and over and over? I said, yeah. Stop talking. You know? And she got mad and didn't talk to me for another 2 hours, and I would continue.
And you were happy.
I'm very happy.
Yeah, you had all that private time for 2 hours.
But whatever.
Before we go to break, you were saying it was tough on your daughter because she knew Robin as a little kid, I imagine, right?
Children, you know, always like to watch the same movies over and over and over again. When they're 4 or 5 years old, they're like little mental patients. And it would either be Beethoven, A Little Mermaid. And when Hook came out, she was fascinated with Peter Pan from the Disney movie, being Tinkerbell, the Mary Martin Broadway play. And Hook comes out with Dustin and Robin Williams, and she sat there every day, and Julia Roberts is Tink. Mm-hmm. Every day after school, we had to watch this movie. So I'm going to San Francisco, and she must have been 4 or 5, and I take her with me, and I said, would you like to go meet Peter Pan? Because she had no idea who Robin was. So we go to Robin's house, and for the first time ever, for about an hour, hour and a half, while Robin and I are talking, my daughter is sitting on the floor, not saying a word. And as we leave, she says, I'm telling everybody at school, kindergarten, whatever, I met Peter Pan! And Robin says, they're going to think you're crazy. Nobody will ever believe you. Yeah. Ever, ever, ever. And she'll never forget that. And she always remembered it. So
that's a wonderful story.
Which is why people should come see me. Joan's gone. Robin's gone. You know, I'm still here.
Nice.
Bobby's the only one left.
That was a great sales pitch.
All right. We got to take a break. Yeah. Bobby Slate at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach is going to be this Friday night, comedyandmagicclub.com. It's a great show. Tickets just $20. Hollywood Improv is the next night at improv.com. Tickets only $18. So if you're a cheap bastard, save $2 and go see him Saturday instead. And then next week he'll be playing at the Irvine Improv. So it's a lot of Bobby Slayton and more right here on K-Rock 2 when we return after this. Kevin Smith joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Rallycross legend Travis Pastrana at 9. Right now, the pitbull of comedy, Bobby Slayton, is in here with us. You can see him at the Comedy Magic Club this Friday night, the Hollywood Improv on Saturday night. Bobby, you were telling us during the spot break there that you went to Israel this summer. Is that out of Jewish obligation or what?
No, I had a gig. It was totally, I never had any desire to go to Israel. Like a lot of Mexicans have no desire to go to Mexico. By the way, yesterday, just to get off the subject for a second, Mexican Independence Day.
That's right,
which I celebrate every year. A lot of people don't even know what it is. I mean, Dave, your producer, didn't even know what it is. You know?
Oh, Dave can't speak
Spanish.
Well,
he's the least Mexican
anything.
Person in the world.
Yeah, but Mexican Independence Day is important. It's when all the Mexicans declared their independence from Mexico and moved here. And that's why they're all here. We celebrate. The car washes were in full bloom.
Oh, man.
But, you know, my daughter, that's another thing about my daughter when she was little. She said to me, you know, I explained to her, you know, there's always been Mexicans here because California was once part of Mexico, but there weren't that many Mexicans back, you know, then, when many, many, many years ago. And she said, well, Daddy, who worked at the car wash? And I said, well, I don't know. Kids will ask you questions. How do the stars, Daddy, where do the clouds come from? I don't know. How come owls go, ooh? She would say to me, and she'd go, who worked at Burger King? I said, I don't know. White people, black people, I don't know. I'm going to have to. That's before you could Google stuff.
Yeah, you were stuffed. Yeah, exactly.
But I went to Israel for a gig, and I know really.
Who's hiring you in Israel, by the way?
Okay, this is a very funny story. That's what I'm here for. They hire me once a year. They do a show. It's a benefit show, and they bring comics over, not necessarily Jewish comics. They bring about 3 or 4 comics to Israel, and it's a benefit to fight terrorism. And children that have been hurt by terrorism. Now, children that have been hurt by anything. And I go, it's great. And they said, look, it doesn't pay a lot of money, but we fly you first class, and they give you a couple of grand, and you get to see Israel for 10 days. And meanwhile, I said, I'm going to go. The Stones are playing over there. Coincidentally, the day I get there.
Oh, wow.
And I have to see them. And by the way, Israel, Jews, ticket prices, you've never seen so much complaining. That wailing wall, they were wailing about the ticket prices. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. I love you, Las Vegas.
A lot of negotiating going on, I bet that.
Okay. Here was the most bizarre thing ever. They said to me over in Israel, everybody that came to the show were not Israelis. They were all Jews, but they were New Yorkers, people from Chicago, from Florida, from New York, that have moved to Israel. So it was me and two other comics. One of them's Kevin Meaney and this woman, Gina. The thing was, each one of us has to do a half hour and work 100% clean. And when I say clean, I mean no references to body parts, porn. They said, you know what, if the show's going well, you can get away with more stuff in Tel Aviv than you can in Jerusalem. Because I don't know. I don't know what the standards
are. Wow.
So I'm going through all my own material, and I'm looking up these jokes I used to do when I was a young comic. And basically, I got to Israel and started working on a lot of stuff and working on a lot of material, and it went fine. But
so you went through 40 years of stand-up to find that 30 minutes of clean material that you have left.
Well, not just – no, because I also have a lot of stuff. You know, when I go to New York, or let's say L.A., I'm here at home working this weekend. There's stuff that won't work in Birmingham, Alabama, that might work better here.
Right.
People are a little bit hipper and smarter and, you know, whatever it is. Although we've become so homogenized now that everybody gets traffic and, you know, their wife is a pain in the butt and Asian drivers and everybody's got Macy's. I mean, everything is everywhere now. And it never used to be that way because it was more localized. But when I got to Israel, I actually started writing a lot of jokes about what the country was like. And I actually saw, this is so weird, maybe in the 10 days I was there, we did about six shows, six different cities. People came up to me. A few people I went to high school with, somebody I went to college with, wow. Somebody I worked with at Banana Records in San Francisco when I was 22 years old. People I haven't seen in years. They went from New York to Florida, gave up on Florida, and moved to Israel, like the Bermuda Triangle. They disappeared, and now the Jews pop up in the Bermuda Triangle. That's where they all are. All these people.
Is Israel supposed to be a great or easy or inexpensive place to live?
I it's interesting because, you know, there's a lot of great restaurants. I thought it'd be really conservative, like Friday nights, you know, when all the Jews are religious. That's just Hasidic Jews. I'm on the beach. There were more tattoos there than you see at a Weenie Roast. There were more tattoos. I mean, these are Jews, and they got tattoos. People are smoking dope. I'm going, these are my kind of Jews.
That's so surprising.
Did you have any, you know, a lot of people would be scared off on going any place in the Middle East because of fears of terrorism. Was there any, even the specter of that in the time that you were there, Bobby?
Yes, this is really funny. I'm on the beach. And oh, by the way, I left, I think, 3 days before war broke out. Maybe a week before war broke out.
They started lobbing the rockets back and forth?
Yeah, I don't know if I had something to do with it. I don't know if the Arabs heard about some of my jokes because I made fun of them a lot, and the Jews loved it. But, you know, the Israelis are very, very tough people. And somebody said to me, you know, they're a little obnoxious and a little, not just because they're Jews, but the Israelis. And people pointed out to me, if people were trying to kill you your whole life and come after you, of course you're going to be tough. You know, by the way, speaking of road rage, they said there's never been an incident where somebody's banged into somebody else or wouldn't make a right turn on a red light. Nobody pulls a gun on anybody because of road rage. Yet you see women walking around who are 18, 19 years old. People have guns. You know, they don't always show them. People have them in their purses because everybody's got to go to the military when they're 18,
that's
boys
right.
and
yeah.
girls. Right. So everybody knows how to use a gun, and everybody's trained. They all have them. You don't always see them, but they use them in case they're attacked, like what happened, you know, in this past couple of months. So I'm on the beach, and Mediterranean is beautiful. You wouldn't know where you are. You could be anywhere, Saint-Tropez or in Israel. So I'm laying on the beach, and all of a sudden there's an announcement. I think that's Hebrew. I'm not sure. There was a lot of it could have been Germans attacked. And all of a sudden, I figure we're getting bombed. I've never heard of anything like this.
So that sounds urgent.
Very urgent. And nobody's moving. And I'm freaking out because I figure the bombs are coming. I mean, they're screaming over. Okay. So I go and say to some Israeli guy, I said, what did they just say? He says, there's an undertow. Don't go in the water. Don't go in the water. And then the guy gets up and he goes in the water. I'm going, he's not going to be afraid of an undertow or a couple of sharks. We got Arabs across the street and across the pond. They're going to kill me. So they just tough.
A good experience, though, it sounds like, going to Israel. You'd go back.
I got to go back. And then I went to Mexico to do a private show.
Where in Mexico?
I was in Acapulco. We did a show for somebody. And somebody flew me down for a big party. And for some reason, there was a guy writing about it who didn't even speak English. So I get this write-up, and the guy hated my act, but he was sleeping during it. So it's good thing it happened in Mexico. You know what I mean? In this country, I've always gotten good reviews. People have not given me too many bad reviews, and it's nice because, you know, journalists are good people. And unless, of course, they go to the Middle East. Why they would do that, I don't know. If you want to be a journalist today, kids, any college kids, get your degree, go work for TMZ, get your minimum wage, sit in the parking lot, wait for a Kardashian to come out of Justin Bieber, and stay right there and just be happy you have your head.
There you go. All right, the Pitbull of Comedy is how he is found on Twitter. You can see Bobby Slayton this weekend. Lots of shows coming up in Southern California, including the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. That's going to be Friday night. Also, Saturday night at the Hollywood Improv. And then next weekend, starting Thursday, at the Irvine Improv, improv.com. It's great to have you back in SoCal, Bobby. Thanks so much
thank
for coming
you,
in.
And I like the idea of Bobby and Bean if Kevin doesn't come back.
If he dies
on vacation, I'll definitely be giving you a call.
I'm here for you, pal.
We got the lines open right now, wide open at 1-800-520-1067. Coldplay crazy fans only, please, because this is it. This is your last chance to win your way into the show tonight in the theater at the Ace Hotel. If you love Coldplay and you want to earn them, we'll give you a chance to do that next. 1-800-520-1067 coming up right after this on K-Rock. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. We are so happy to present Coldplay tonight on the radio at 8:30. You can listen to the concert live with zero commercials. They're going to be playing at the theater at the Ace Hotel. I know I asked this question earlier in the week, Lisa, but again, why won't Coldplay just play a concert that people can't go to? Why do they keep playing these tiny little rooms that are impossible to get into?
I think you guys talked to them about it, didn't you? And they
yes,
said
we talked
that it was
to Chris.
Because it was such an intimate album.
Yes, I
and
guess.
And so they felt like it needed to be an intimate location.
So they can't do these songs at Staples Center,
well,
for instance.
It's just
it
not
has to be
as effective.
Has to be the Royce Hall or tonight, for instance, at the Theater of the Ace Hotel. All right. Well, we have hardcore Coldplay fans on the line at 1-800-520-1067. This is a game that we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the whole intro, Muggs. If you could play that for me one more time, please.
Just a Second!
Here's the way this game is played. If you're a Coldplay fan, it should be pretty easy. We're going to play the first second of a Coldplay song. All you have to do is identify it by its title. Tell us which Coldplay song we are giving you just a second of. You go into the drawing. One winner within the next 5 minutes will win the last pair of tickets for a special evening with Coldplay. So let's just take them in order. Our first contestant is going to be up on line one, and this is going to be Miguel from Santa Clarita. Hi, Miguel. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
All right, so you understand the how this one's played, right? You get 1 second. We'll play it for you twice. Then you need to tell us which Coldplay song it is. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Listen up. Again. What song is that, Miguel?
That one's going to be Yellow.
I'm sorry. We were looking for Clocks this time around. That was Clocks. Thank you for playing, though. Hazel is up next, line two. Hi, Hazel.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Why don't I ever meet girls named Hazel? I love that name, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. All right, you a big Coldplay fan?
Yes, I am. I've been calling every single day.
Good for you. Listen up. We'll play it for you twice, then we need an answer. Here you go. Again. What do you think, Hazel?
Fix You.
Yes!
Good job.
All right, you are one step closer to winning your way in. You are in the drawing. Thank you, my dear. Hang on, please. Let's go to Irma. She's up next on line three. Hi, Irma. What's going on in Downey today? How are you doing?
Good morning. It's hot.
Yeah, it's too damn hot. It's too damn hot. All right, well, at least tonight you'll be with your boys if you win your way into Coldplay. We got a song for you. You got to tell us in 1 second what it is. Here we go.
Okay. Sky Full Stars.
That is correct. Wow, the girls are bringing it. So Hazel's in, Irma's in. Let's move down to Valerie.
Just a second!
Just a Second is the game that we're playing here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Valerie. How you been doing listening on hold so far?
Kind of nervous.
Kind of nervous. Okay, good answer. All right, listen up. We'll play it for you twice. Here you go in just a second. What Coldplay song is this? What do you think?
Trouble? Yes!
The Girls, right. Again, yes. Crazy, Hazel, Irma, Valerie, all in the drawing. Claudia is up next. Let's see what she's got going on in Glendale. Hi, Claudia.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
All right.
You
sound, you sound ready. You're at the plate, bat in hand, ready for your pitch. All right, listen up. We'll play it for you twice.
It's Yellow.
It is Yellow. Got time for a couple more. A lot of ladies calling in. Let's see what Katie's got going on. She's in Colton. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
You're trying to get into a special evening with Coldplay in the theater at the Ace Hotel. In just a second, tell us what song this is. Listen up.
Scientist.
Yes. I got to tell you. Coldplay fans know their band's music, don't they? This is very impressive. All right, I think we got time for one more.
Just a second!
Let's try another dude. Let's try Jose. He's on line 7. He's in Van Nuys. Hey, Jose.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
It's your last chance to get in the drawing for the Coldplay tickets. What song is this? Listen up. We'll play it twice.
Oh, I couldn't hear anything.
Is that your final answer?
Give it a stab.
I couldn't hear anything.
Is that your answer?
Let me go with Paradise.
Yes! Paradise. How many times do we tell people, if you don't know, guess, that's what can happen. All right, Jose is in the drawing. Katie, Claudia, Valerie, Irma, Hazel, the final pair of tickets for a special evening with Coldplay tonight in the theater at the Ace Hotel. Lisa May, give me some good news.
Oh, my God, it's Hazel.
Yay!
Oh, my God.
Hazel.
Shut up.
Hazel.
That's awesome.
Yes, are you kidding me?
No.
I'm not kidding you. You're going to be in the theater at the Ace Hotel. Say hi to Coldplay. The rest of us will be listening on K-Rock tonight at 8:30. Thanks for playing. Just a second.
Just a second.
The song always sounds like the Grateful Dead to me. Am I crazy when I say that?
No, you're absolutely right. I always hear the same thing.
Okay. 7:52 Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the show biz beat. What's going on?
Hello. Check. 1, 2.
Is this thing on?
Doesn't sound on. Normal level and everything.
Can you turn it up a little bit?
It's where it is every time I put it on.
Did it sound low?
It did, because your mic
was
low.
Are you listening to the show?
I am, and your mic was low. That's
why. So when I started speaking, did you think, wow, we have a little bit of a volume problem?
Until you lifted your mic up, it alleviated the problem.
What are we going to do? Seriously.
Just saying.
I'm going to give you a heads up. Long Beach Comic Con is coming. It's Long Beach's very own comic book convention, as you can assume from the name. And it's really a cool event. And this year, it's sixth year, they've invited me to be a guest.
Oh.
I'm going to be doing a couple panels down there this year. It is September 27th and 28th. I will be on a panel celebrating the 1960s Batman TV series, as you can imagine. We'll be talking about that on Sunday. And on Saturday, I'll be sitting in on the 75th anniversary panel of Batman Tales from the Dark Knight. That is called Saturday at 1 p.m. And I'll also be signing copies of Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet Saturday afternoon as well. So if you are so inclined and you're free next weekend, why don't you come out and see me at the Long Beach Comic Con. You can go to longbeachcomiccon.com for more details and to get tickets. But it's going to be a fun event. I'm really looking forward to it.
How many issues in are we on Batman 66?
We are 4 in. We have That's two more to go. Four okay. down, two to go. This is interesting to me because I did not see this coming. They are doing this movie Skull Island. Are you familiar with this? This is the story of the place where King Kong came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been featured in the King Kong films. They usually go to Skull Island. That's where they find Kong, and then they take him back to New York City. That's how the story usually goes. But they're doing a whole film about Skull Island, which not only has Kong on it, but a bunch of other terrifying prehistoric creatures as well. The film is due out in 2016, but Tom Hiddleston has just been picked to star in that film.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good pull. I'm surprised they got someone of his caliber to be in that movie, but now I'm looking forward to it even more. Ariana Grande, her reputation continues to take a beating. You don't hear a lot of good things about this girl.
No, we're hearing a lot of diva behavior.
A lot of diva-esque behavior, yeah.
Well, she's Mariah Carey in every way.
She sort of is. She was at a Manhattan radio station recently signing autographs and posing for photos with the staff of the radio station. When the elevator doors closed as she left the building, Ariana allegedly said to someone who was in the elevator, "I hope they all effing die."
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
About the people she was just talking to.
Because they had her in to help her promote her crappy music?
Apparently so, yeah.
She's a bitch.
No kidding.
She had already been taking a beating in Australia where journalists were warned in advance they could not ask her about who she's dating, why her Nickelodeon show Sam and Cat was canceled, about her co-star from that show, if she liked being compared with Mariah Carey, or if she's recording a single with Justin Bieber. All those topics were off the table. She insists on being photographed only from her left side.
She's like 18, right?
Yeah. She's 21, I think, maybe.
Okay.
If you want a picture with her on her upcoming tour, it'll cost you $495.
No!
For the VIP experience.
Oh! F*** you!
And you will be included in a group picture with Ariana with 4 to 6 other people. No individual pictures with Ariana.
That's unbelievable.
And you download them on the website, and there's you standing next to 4 people you don't know, and then there's Ariana Grande on the other side for a mere 500 shells. So,
you know, there are people who have been in the industry for 40 years who are happy to take a photo with you for free.
They'll do it for nothing.
People have had long, long careers.
Suckers!
Wow.
She's special.
That's disappointing.
She's special. Gwyneth Paltrow is enjoying her singlehood, if you believe Star Magazine. You know, she's got a new boyfriend, Glee creator Brad Falchuk.
Oh, I've never seen him.
I have neither.
I've heard the name, though.
Yeah, he's one of the co-creators of Glee.
Yeah.
Apparently they met when she was guest starring on that show. Well, a friend of Gwyneth Paltrow, I love these stories, where a friend
she's great friends.
Is telling a Star Magazine reporter that they're a crazy kinky couple. Apparently he's really into the kinky sex, and she's all in. Whips, corsets, handcuffs, various toys. They carry them with them when they travel, these two.
I'm sure.
Why is this coming out? Wasn't she someone who tried to stay as off the radar as possible when she was married to Chris Martin? Like, why are we hearing stories like this now about her new boyfriend?
Wonder why. Jennifer Lawrence. I wonder why she's trying. Jennifer Lawrence! She's trying to circulate sexy rumors about herself. Jennifer Lawrence, it's so hot.
you got a cough there? You okay,
no,
Ralph?
I'm fine. Just a little tickle in my throat. Eva Mendes and Ryan Gosling have a tiny, teeny little baby. Congratulations to that spectacularly attractive couple.
Yeah.
They welcomed a new baby girl into the world last Friday. No word yet on what the baby's name will be.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling's already taken. That's his name. Eva Mendes is her name. Goose Gosling?
Maybe so. Cute. Maybe.
That'd be adorable, Goose Gosling.
Adele Dazeem
would be good as well. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Bobby Lee is 42 years old today. Malik Yoba, he's 47.
That's one of President Obama's daughters, isn't it?
No, sir. That is not. Malik Yoba's a very talented, burly actor.
Okay.
And Alphas on Sci-Fi. I love that show. Kyle Chandler's 49 years old. Director Baz Luhrmann most recently gave us...
Great Gatsby.
Yeah. I was trying to think if there's something that came after Great Gatsby. I don't think there is.
Mm-mm.
Cassandra Peterson. You best know her as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. She is a lovely and talented actress as well. Was a former groundling and a former employee of this radio station, KROQ. Can you believe that?
Yep.
Just goes
one of the
to
best.
Show you, people can move on from K-Rock and have
some
successful,
people.
Fruitful lives. And then there's the rest of us.
Yes.
Fire beer mug.
Right. See, beer mug, if we fired you, you'd probably go on to bigger and better things. You'd probably move on to a successful, wildly popular career doing something else.
Well, let's do it then.
Let's do it!
USA! I mean,
USA! USA! USA!
I know it sounds like Ralph is joking, but look at your Carson Dailies, your Chris Hardwicks,
right.
Your Jimmy Kibbles, your Adam Carollas. There's a long list of people who have benefited from leaving K-Rock. So maybe you should really seriously think about it, Mugs.
See you, beer mug.
See you guys later.
Bye. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to K-Rock listener Hazel, who about 30 minutes ago won the very last pair of tickets for a special evening with Coldplay, presented tonight by K-Rock and Beats Music. Now that the Ace Hotel is all sold out, I guess you can do what I'm going to do, which is to be listening to K-Rock starting at 8:30 tonight. Commercial-free Coldplay in concert tonight right here on K-Rock. That is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith, minutes away, on his way down here. In the meantime, some controversy out of Austin, Texas. Lisa, have you heard what they're doing to the school lunch programs there?
No.
They debuted Meat-Free Mondays this school year.
Well, I've heard a lot about Meat-Free Mondays. It's kind of a nationwide thing.
Yeah, a lot of people are suggesting, look, nothing wrong with eating meat, but maybe if we ate less meat, it would not use so many resources, because it takes so much more water and land to raise cattle than it does to raise, you know, fruits and vegetables, for instance.
Right.
So maybe it's good for the environment to eat a little bit less meat. So this is a program at the Dripping Springs School District. They are offering meat-free lunch options on Mondays in 3 of their elementary schools. So you go that day and you can get the black bean burrito, you can get the vegetarian chili with cornbread, you can get vegetarian soup, spinach salad, cheese ravioli, grilled cheese sandwiches. I mean, these sound like pretty awesome lunch choices to me.
Well, yeah, and we're always trying to get our kids to eat more vegetables, and everybody knows that the more variety of vegetables and fruits you eat, the healthier you are. Because you're getting all those different nutrients. So this is a great way to introduce kids to all kinds of foods.
And they're not banning meat, by the way. Anyone who wants to bring a cheeseburger from home or a ham sandwich, whatever you want, you're still welcome to bring your own food. But they're saying in the cafeteria, what the school is offering are non-meat options just on Mondays.
Okay.
Well, that is not sitting very well with some people, including Texas Agriculture Commissioner Todd Staples. Here's a little bit of the objections that he has raised.
You know, in Texas, we embrace freedom. And restricting children's meal choices to not include meat, we believe is irresponsible and really has no place in our schools.
Irresponsible?
He makes it sound like they're being invaded, doesn't
he? Oh, my God.
Meatless Mondays are part of an activist movement advocating a vegetarian diet for Americans. This is the man, by the way, in charge of the agency that administers the school lunch programs in the state. So he is at odds with those who will say Meatless Mondays are the way to go. So we wanted to find out more about what his possible complaint can be. So we asked producer Dave, could you get us the Texas Agriculture Commissioner? And Mr. Todd Staples joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Mr. Staples. Thanks for the time today, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, we're fine, but frankly, we're a little puzzled by the outrage in your statement about students on Mondays in elementary school just having a choice of meals.
Oh, you're puzzled by that, are you?
Yes,
sir.
Well, I'll have you know, in Texas, we do not cotton to the idea of activists pressing their agendas onto impressionable young minds in our elementary schools. Thank you very much.
But nobody is pressing an agenda here. Uh-huh. They're offering different foods on Monday. What's wrong with having a grilled cheese sandwich for lunch one day that week rather than having a steak?
They're advocating their special diet for Americans by taking away our meat one day a week, and I frankly won't stand for it. And this country was raised on meat. It was born on meat, and under meat shall it stand.
Well, they can have meat at dinner and at breakfast at home if they want.
It's a slippery slope, young lady. First you start taking away meat on Mondays. Next thing you know, Tuesdays is gone, and Wednesdays. And the next thing you know, they're eating alfalfa sprouts living in a commune. And that's not what I want for my children. Maybe that's how you raise your children there in hippie California. But in Texas, that's not how we roll, okay?
What about the fact that there's way fewer greenhouse gases and way less water used in non-meat meals?
Well, let's just not have the cow drink for a day. Just don't give him any water for a day.
I don't think that's not how that.
We'll make it up somehow. But meat, my friends, is what made this country great. Not alfalfa sprouts and baby carrots, I'll have you know. And first of all, I don't like them pushing their alternative way of living on children. You know, you want to teach these young girls all to be vegetarians. Oh, you should be a vegetarian, young lady. Forget about men. You don't need that. It's all about vegetarians.
I don't even know what a vegetarian is.
There in California with all your hippies out there smoking your weed with your lava lamp.
It's not a thing, and no one has had a lava lamp for 30 years, Mr. Staples.
Not in Texas, they haven't. You're goddamn right. But vegetarians, we don't even have procreation anymore because people are sleeping with the same sex at that point.
I think there's plenty of kids.
Monday. Oh, women will be meatless forever if they become vegetarian.
No, that's not what this is about. This isn't about not having men in your life.
And the items on this list, first of all, black bean burrito. Why the beans got to be black? That's what I want to know. I'm just getting used to brown beans. First of all, that was hard enough. Now I gotta eat black bean burritos?
Well, they're healthy. They're good for you.
Oh, I'm sure you'd like people to believe that, wouldn't you?
I'm pretty sure that's true.
You're vegetarian chili. Oh, vegetarian chili.
Please stop saying vegetarian.
Baby carrots. Why are they aborting the carrots before they can become fully grown? That's what I want to know.
That's not what that means.
Let me support some baby carrot abortions. That's what Meatless Monday's all about.
Oh, my God.
Sliced peaches. They're murdering peaches for Mondays. How about Peachless Monday? How about that?
Are you positive that you run the Texas Agriculture Commission? Because it sounds like you know nothing about food.
I have, and I do, but I have been drinking a bit.
It sounds like it. Reading from Variety magazine, the Hollywood Trade publication, quote, 20 years on from Clerks, Kevin Smith has delivered a left-field surprise that ranks among his very best work, talking about the film called Tusk that comes out this Friday, September 19th. Our friend Kevin Smith joins us in studio on K-Rock
and
right now.
And that's a real newspaper right there.
That is, yeah, Variety's the real trade. Deal. The and Bible. Scott Foundas, he's a tough nut to crack. One time he gave me a really horrible review on Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and I went after him. We became friends after that. But he's a guy I always kind of turn to. He'll be honest. And
it means something coming from a guy who doesn't just always hand out positive reviews.
It really does. And that review here, like, I'll say this, man. This is kind of new. I'm always trying to figure out something new to say. A couple years back, I was like, critic, and going after him and stuff like that. I saw something made me, like, flip the script. And it wasn't anything they said about me. I'm happy when they say nice things about me, but I like the movie, so hopefully others do, but I don't wait for somebody to tell me to approve my own stuff. But Michael Parks, star of our movie Tusk, 73-year-old Michael Parks, is insanely brilliant in this movie. I had nothing to do with it. I just pointed a camera at it and kept it in focus. So he is just the absolute truth. In that Variety review, Scott Foundas wrote such wonderful things about Parks as a performer, about his performance, about a lifetime of performance, that when I was talking to Parks about it, he was glassy-eyed.
Aww.
He was, like, really emotional. And right then and there, I was like, all this time I've been like, oh, critics this or that. That's, like, my perspective and stuff. And you forget, like, the good. Like, that dude's, he hasn't been that well lately. He's been fighting some health issues and stuff. That literally improved his health by 50%.
That's
so
fantastic.
It was awesome to watch. I will love that review forever. It said very nice things about the movie and me, but the stuff it said about Parks was just religious.
And for an old school performer like Michael, a Variety and Hollywood Reporter, I mean, these are the Bibles
names, exactly.
For these guys.
Like,
know?
I can't say to him, hey, man, on Reddit, they think you're the bomb.
Yeah, right.
Like, Reddit.
Any cool news?
I did Reddit. I read it, and they don't like the movie. But Ralph's absolutely nailed it on the head. The word Variety, the word of the Hollywood Reporter, these terms mean something to a 50-year veteran in this business.
Yeah. Sure.
Let me share something that also amazing that happened. I made this movie called Tusk. I've talked about it here before. It's about a guy who turns another guy into a walrus. Comes out Friday. It's really weird. I'm at the Toronto Film Festival where it premieres last weekend. We're at a midnight screening at the Ryerson. They have this program called Midnight Madness, legendary at the Film Fest. It's its own world within the festival. Most religious screening you could probably ever have of this movie, since it is set in Canada as well. Canadian horror movie. There I am in Canada, folks. Toronto, the other side of our landmass almost, where the Kevin and Me Morning Show is not broadcast by any stretch of the imagination, unless they download it as a podcast, which is available, kids. So as I'm sitting there at the screening, there's a buddy. Everyone I know and love is in the movie. Everyone I've worked with and stuff like that. People I sleep with. My wife is in the movie. Things that came out
and
of
Ralph,
my wife's body
people you sleep with.
After
Come
I
on.
Slept with, like my kid. And Ralph, of course. And so Ralph is in the flick. Ralph pops up on screen, and we're in a theater of 1,200 people. They tell me it's that big, the Ryerson. Ralph comes up on screen, and the entire place went up in thunderous applause.
Oh, my
You're kidding
God.
Me.
I am not lying. I couldn't wait to tell you that. I didn't text it. I haven't seen Ralph in a little bit. But it was one of a night and a movie full of weird, surreal, you know, crazy moments. One of the craziest was, like, for a moment, I was like, are we in Los Angeles? Like, there were that many people in the audience familiar
That's
with
cool.
the podcast. And,
well,
and
you guys
Ralph.
Have done,
awesome.
Taken Babylon to Canada before and gotten a great reception.
Not Toronto.
So you know
you
got a lot of fans up there.
Not Toronto, but the podcast travels. It's a lesson, kids. It's like, a podcast goes everywhere. You know, it's radio. I love this medium so much, but like we're here. You know, we're right here in Los Angeles area as far as the broadcast signal will take.
Which ain't far.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. My house, I get static. And I'm not that far from you guys. But online, you could create something that goes anywhere. Just like this kid, Chris Parkinson. We flew him out. He was at the premiere last night. Last night we had a Los Angeles screening kind of premiere thing. So Chris Parkinson's this dude who I talked about what he did like a year ago when I told you guys the story. But he was a dude who one morning woke up and he goes, I'm going to write a little ad about a walrus man. And so he goes to Gumtree.uk, which is like a Craigslist website, and he creates this hoax ad where he's like, I'm an old man who's lived a very storied life, including one time where I was lost at sea with just a walrus as my only companion. He was the greatest friend I ever had. I named him Gregory. I miss the walrus. So I'm offering a room for rent in my house. In exchange, no payment. All I ask is that this. I have for some time been constructing a realistic walrus costume. I would like you to wear it 2 hours a day. I will throw you fish and crabs. You can't speak as a human. You can only make the noises of walrus. So this guy wrote this hoax ad and, you know, put it up there, serious as day. And it traveled around the internet, bounced around the internet. People going, did you see this? Some crazy dude wants somebody to dress up like a walrus. It eventually landed to me on Twitter. Somebody said, did you see this? And we were just about to record a new episode of Smodcast, me and my friend Scott Mosier, Smodcast 259. So we sit down. We start talking about this ad, which we didn't know was a hoax. And we're like, this is madness. Could you imagine? Don't do it, people. You're going to wind up there. He's going to knock you out. This old man's going to sew you in the seats, going to be in the suits, going to be like the human walrus and stuff. So from that point forward in that podcast, you can literally really hear it. There's all that's missing is poing, like the sound of a wand, a light bulb going off.
Like an idea has never hit you harder and made you want to make a movie faster.
The only other time was on Clerks. Like when I was a kid, I loved comedy, and I was like, you know, as much as I identify with the underdog in comedies like Caddyshack, Animal House, I didn't really fully see myself or my friends in those characters. So I was always like, how come they don't make movies about dudes who talk about Star Wars a lot or have problems with girls, blah, blah, blah? Why don't they make a movie about me and my friends was my refrain. Not us specifically, but just our kinds of people. And after years of saying that to myself or wondering, and I had this mental snap where I was like, Kevin, nobody cares about you and your friends. I don't even know who you and your friends are. Nobody's ever going to make a movie about your friends unless you do it. And I was, all right. And that was Clerks, and that changed my life. 20 years later, I'm on this podcast. We're talking about this dopey walrus thing, and I start going like, this could totally be a horror movie. And it happens again, the snap. You know, you hear me talk about it on the podcast. It's 259. You could listen to it. And you hear me get so outraged that nobody will make this movie. I'm like, why doesn't this exist? Where are the brave filmmakers? Why will nobody, you know? And it's like I suddenly remember, oh, yeah, I used to make film. And I had this snap, same thing like Clerks, where I was like, nobody's ever going to make this stupid-ass walrus movie. The only person who's going to make it, if you want to see it, is you. So I kind of went forward with it. And this kid, Chris Parkinson, who woke up in Brighton, England one morning and was like, walrus. I'm on the other side of the world going, walrus, and suddenly it becomes a movie. So, Chris, we brought him out to the premiere last night.
Excuse me for interrupting, but it's the only way to ask a question. did you have to pay him for the idea?
We did. We gave him $5,000. Well, we probably didn't have to because it changed dramatically from the original. But we gave him $5,000, made him an executive producer.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Brought him out. He was there on set with us, and he's in the movie. If you're looking at the flick, when they're the Allie character and Teddy. Genesis Rodriguez and Haley Joel Osment, they go looking for Justin Long's character at one point. They're at a bar. There's a guy sitting on the bar that looks like the actual Wolverine. Not what's his name?
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, not the, like, Playboy cover boy. Like, I'm talking about in the comics, Wolverine is short and scrappy with the sideburns. He looks exactly like Wolverine without the claws. He's sitting on the bar. That's the real dude. Without this dude waking up and going, like, hee-hee-hee, walrus. My life don't change. Isn't that nuts? Like,
and the internet shot that into your veins from him pushing the syringe on the other end.
Oh, it's so insane. And it just goes to show you, man, you don't know where inspiration is ever going to come from. You know, I've been in here so many times going, I'm done with filmmaking. Anything but film.
Oh,
but
yeah, we know you're a big fat liar. We've got that. Believe me. That has been mission accomplished.
You sound like my wife. She was like, you were lying the whole time. I said, no, I was out. This is the only way you get to this walrus movie. You have to literally be done and out and be like, I don't give an F about
nothing
my
to lose,
career
exactly.
At all. Yeah.
All right, we have to take a quick break. Our friend Kevin Smith is here. The film is called Tusk. It opens in theaters this Friday. We'll return in a moment on K-Rock. Hey, tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, young man named Bono who sings for a band called U2.
Flash in the pan. Flash.
Going to be joining
pan.
Us.
Is that really? Is that true?
Yeah.
Bono's coming.
Yeah.
Is that Bono
on the show
before?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, he's been on the show a couple.
Yeah, we've had him on. We've had the band play live on the Kevin Bean show before. Kevin, how about that?
Does he know? Does now will a Bono come in and be like Ralph? Lisa. Lisa. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic. He's not British. I can't do the Irish. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I believe Bono will be on the phone tomorrow, actually. He won't actually be in studio this time, but we're excited about talking to him.
I believe it's going to be an iPhone he'll be calling
him. I'm sure it'll be
an
iPhone.
And he won't be able to get him off it either. Just like that album.
He'll be stuck.
Also, Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. USC coach, Coach Sarkisian, will be here. And the fourth smartest man in the world, Walter O'Brien. He's the guy that they made that new CBS show Scorpion about. He's going to be joining us in studio tomorrow. So that's going to be super fun.
This show has really gone downhill. You can only get the fourth smartest man in the world. Other radio shows get one through three. You guys
in the meantime,
Hawking won't have anything to do with this.
The 61st smartest man in the world, Kevin Smith, is in studio with us right now.
Oh, I wish that was true, man. I'm probably at 61 million.
His new film is called Tusk. It opens everywhere on Friday. Hey, let me ask you this. You got into horror a little bit with the Red State, but this is full on. Did you learn anything as a filmmaker making a full on horror movie for the first time?
What a great question. I actually did. I learned that the buttons to giggle and the buttons to gasp on the audience are very close to one another. So if you can make somebody do one of those things, you could probably make them do the other. In this movie, we kind of go back and forth between like making you laugh and showing you very unsettling things. My model was American Werewolf in London. When I was a kid, I saw that flick, and it is, you know, some people go like, oh, that movie scared me. Like, this movie literally horrified me. There's a moment, I don't know if anyone remembers the dream sequence flashback where the SS werewolves come in and, like, cut families' throats in the middle of a very suburban setting while they're watching The Muppet Show, which was very popular at the time. And I watched The Muppet Show with my grandmother. So I watched that scene, and I'm like, now I got to add this to my scare list? This is possible? So it was terrifying. But at the same time, Landis, the director who did Animal House as well, would flip the script. And suddenly there would be a scene that was like brilliantly funny. That felt not out of place, but like would be at home in a straight out comedy. So that was always my favorite kind of comedy because it soothed me. Like I'd sit there at night and be terrified like, oh, my God, the werewolves. And then my cousin would be like, yeah, but remember the scene where, you know, dead guy picks up the Mickey Mouse doll? He's like, hi, David. I was like, yeah, that was cool. That was funny. And suddenly, you know, you weren't as scared anymore. So that was my love of horror comes from that formula. Mix it up. Like, throw them something unnerving, but then throw them something that they could cling on to and get a breath of fresh air and then head back into the terror.
Hey, Ralph, tell me about your detective that you play in the movie.
It's just a small little bit that I do in the movie, but
and he does it in character. He does an accent.
It's just a fun little thing where I play a Canadian detective who's dealing with Genesis Rodriguez and Haley Joel Osment, who are play the friends of Justin Long, who are searching for him in Canada, and they turn to the police for help. And I'm just the cop who ends up interviewing them. And what was a bit part apparently is now a cameo because people know who I am. That's how quickly that can turn. You go from being a bit actor to having a cameo.
And
people,
I brought him back.
Like people cheer.
He's a detective. Garmin, Garmin. It was a little joke when we first did one of the first episodes of
Babylon.
Hollywood Babylon. Somebody wrote in and called him Frank Garmin.
Yes.
So his cop, in a nod to that, is Detective Frank Garmin. And this movie, Yoga Hosers, that we just wrapped, those spins off of Tusk. It's based on, if you've ever seen the trailer for Tusk, there are two little girls working in a convenience store. Yoga Hosers is about those two little girls 1 year after the incidents of Tusk. So we check in 1 year later, and Detective Garmin has become Commissioner Garmin. So Ralph is in that as well.
That's fantastic. How did Tusk become associated with Buds and Roses in Los Angeles?
That is the brilliant distributor that's putting this movie out there in the world, A24. These are the people that at the moment I was like, I'm actually going to try to make this for real, this Walrus movie. I knew that they had to put it out because they put out The Bling Ring and they put out Spring Breakers and like they put out movies that probably would have gone VOD had not they put the sexy into theatrical release. That's what they're into, like making theatrical release sexy again. So I went to them with the Walrus Pictures and there's nobody on this world that's going to figure out how to sell this to an audience beyond you guys. And they've done an amazing job without like spending money. I bitched a few years ago during Red State about marketing costs and stuff. These cats are like early Miramax. It's not about how much money they spend. It's about how clever they are doing it. And they've been so clever. One of the things they came up with was Graham Retzik over at A24 said, hey, man, would you mind if we branded a strain of weed to your movie? And I was like, mind? You know, I get to smoke my movie? Oh, my Lord.
It's better than an Oscar for Kevin Smith.
Oh, you keep your tin. I got the green. Keep the gold. I mean, could you imagine? The whole project was born in a blaze of smoke. And then I could literally smoke the movie. So that was tremendous. I'm actually, I think, going to Buds and Roses today to sample those very wares.
And what are the strains again? There's two, right?
There's two. There's White Walrus and Mr. Tusk.
Yeah.
And one's an indigo, one's a sativa. Oh, come on. That's better than, like, that to me is on the level of when I was a kid, when all the Star Wars movies came out, Burger King would do the glasses.
That's right.
This is just like a Burger King glass, except you could smoke it. Yes.
It's a collectible.
Yes. Oh, now, it's wonderful.
Did you have any input into what was in the strain? Like, did you say, hey, I want a touch of mint or whatever it was that you're looking
touch
for?
A touch of mint. It's
or whatever.
A guy who's never smoked grass in his life.
Yeah, it's not like a tea bean. Okay. You can't add things to it. I mean, I guess you can. You can soak it in formaldehyde. Some people do that.
Yeah, but then you end up on a slab somewhere.
No, I let the experts handle it. Believe me, it's not going to be forever titled that. They take a wonderful strain, renamed it temporarily for the movie, and it'll go back to being whatever it's called.
Right, it'll be for the Spice Girls tour or something next week. But for now...
But we're first, before them Spice Girls. It's been a weird, wonderful process, man. Like, just by virtue of the fact that at the end of the podcast that birthed the movie, I said, hey, if you think it's a good idea, hashtag Walrus yes. If you think this is a stupid idea, you don't think I should pursue this, Walrus no. Next morning, thousands of Walrus yes, one Walrus no. And the only Walrus no guy was just like, I'm just saying no for the democratic process.
Yeah.
So everyone's been supportive, and a bunch of strangers took a few seconds to type Walrus yes, like, yeah, this sounds cool. Or even if they were like, yeah, I want to see you destroy your career yet again. Regardless, they were like, go forward. And because of that, man, like, I did. Like, I don't think I would have done it if the audience
awesome.
Hadn't been like Walrus
Look,
yes.
It's an awesome story. It's a great creative story. It really is. I love how this movie came together.
It just kind of changed my life. So much so that, like, I wound up doing a spinoff, this Yoga Hosers thing, and with my kid. She's in the movie. Johnny Depp's daughter, Lily Rose Depp, is in the movie. They play the two stars. So I'm working the other day with my kid, man. This is wild, right? This wild moment, really life-changing moment for me. We're on set. She's just done a take. I'm not much of a director, as every critic will tell you. I don't actually do what some directors are like. You're a gazelle and you're surrounded by lions, but they think that you're a lion. Go. Like, I don't do that. I shoot a take, and then I bring the actors over and go, come look what you did. And they watch the whole thing, and I'm like, this is in the movie. This is in the movie, because I'm an editor, and I edit the movie, so I know what's going to go right in. So I was like, this shot, this take, I need this reaction a little bit different, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm doing that, and the kid's like, can I do this? Can I say this instead? I was like, yeah, go ahead. And she goes in. I do the same thing with her that I've done with everybody. As she walked away, I'm sitting there going like, oh, my Lord, that is the same conversation I've just had with my 15-year-old daughter on a set that I've had with Ben Affleck, that I've had with Matt Damon, that I've even had with Bruce Willis, but my daughter didn't take a swing at me. Like that guy. So I was like, how wild. Like, I'm at a place in life where, like, my daughter's in my professional world, and I'm communicating to her like I would communicate to any other actor. I said, that's really cool. So
it's
I'm
like
watching
she's
the
grown up.
Yeah, kind of. That's what I, in a minute, that's what I felt. But then I'm watching her go and speak, and then I realized, like, I had this kind of shift, and I was like, oh, man. Like, this whole time, I thought I was, like, the hero of my story. I honestly thought I was, like, Odysseus, because me coming from, like, Jersey to do what I do now, I might as well be an astronaut. Like, I have traveled very far. And that makes you feel like, look at me. Look at the heroic adventure of my story that I'm. We should all be the heroes of our own stories. However, in that moment, it crystallized for me where I was like, wait a second. I thought 20 years of all this filmmaking was me making my epic, and really, it was all just prologue. It was all just warm-up so that I could stand there in the face of a 15-year-old who's never acted before and give her good, decent enough a direction that she could go in and start her life. And I suddenly realized, like, oh, my God, I'm not the star of my own show. I'm a bit player in the beginning of her epic. I'm like the dude in Game of Thrones who teaches Arianna to sword fight with the wooden stick. And then he's like, go. And he gets killed. And then the rest of the thing's about her, man. And it was this moment where I was like, wow, I guess I'm not the important one here. I guess it's her. Oh, look at that.
A lesson has been learned, ladies and gentlemen, the insignificance of Kevin Smith.
Yeah, fine. The internet's been trying to tell me for 20 years.
Now you're listening.
It just took that moment with my kid. Now
your daughter had to tell you you were meaningless.
Pretty much.
Tusk, a lot of theaters on Friday or just a couple?
600, which I think is far too many for a movie like this. I honestly thought we would open, like, New York, L.A. When this movie was conceived, I thought I'd four-wall it like I did with Red State and Jay and Silent Bob's Super Groovy Cartoon Movie, because I was like, who'd want to see this? this except people who were fans of the original podcast. But after Toronto, it seems like a lot of people.
That's great.
I'm getting complaints from people, friends of mine, are saying, where is it near Philly? I have to drive like 40 miles to get to a theater. So not enough screens this movie's on.
Yeah. They just put up a list over at A24's Facebook page for Tusk.
No VOD, though, Kevin?
No, not. I mean, eventually, sure, but not, you know, day and date
not
with
for
the movie.
Now.
This is when you got to travel for.
Well, congratulations, sir. That's an awesome story. And the movie is getting tremendous reviews. I can't wait to see it in 3 months when it comes on my TV.
Yeah, I know. I remember. He's one of those shut-in people. Dude, you will not believe Justin Long dressed as a walrus. It is the weirdest thing.
You will believe it, actually.
Yeah, even when it's done, you'll be like, I can't believe they did that. It's such a weird film. Like, I don't know. I can't say it's good or bad. But it is singular. You've not seen it before. And some people are like, Human Centipede. Not really. No. Like, you know, I mean, as much as Human Centipede was Frankenstein and Dr. Moreau, same thing kind of here. But there are things in this movie that, like, I've been making movies 20 years for the first time. In 20 years, I think I've put some stuff on the screen that I've never seen anywhere else before. And that feels kind of good 20 years in to do something.
That alone is worth going to see.
And you talk about Parks, but Justin Long, too.
Amazing.
Just a tremendous
Parks and Justice, it's an actor's, it's pornography for anybody who loves actors. And it's pornography
for people who
love rubber suits.
Do you have to go, Kevin, or you want to stick around for Showbiz Beat?
I will stick around for Showbiz Beat.
We'll be right back on K-Rock. Motocross legend Travis Pastrana joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. It's kind of a radio-friendly Hollywood Babylon.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith is here along with Ralph Garman. What are you guys talking about?
It's been a while, by the way, since we've done a Babylon. And if you want to come out and see it, we're doing it on the 26th of this month at the Improv on Melrose. We're doing Hollywood Babylon at 10 p.m. And earlier that same evening at 8 o'clock, we're doing our Comic-Con theater, where we do a live reading of Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet.
It's been a while, man. It's been at least a month since we've done a show.
So a double feature. Double feature on the 26th.
Double fist me and Ralph, ladies and gentlemen. We'll enjoy that, and you will too.
Let's talk a little show business news. Apparently, Guardians of the Galaxy fans are very excited. Now, there is a way that you can text Groot. There's an actual phone number. If you go to 866-740-4531 and text Groot, he will respond to you. I promise.
And what does he respond with?
I am Groot.
That is genius.
And no matter what you send to him, he sends back I am Groot.
That makes me so happy. Why wasn't I on to this? Why didn't I do text Silent Bob and just send nothing? I thought I was a smarketer, but Groot beat me, man.
Yeah.
Groot will always beat me. But you know what? We are Groot, so there it is. God, I love that movie.
That's a great film.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Ben Affleck, speaking of geek news.
If you text him, he'll also text you back. Yes, I am Groot. Yeah. I am Batman.
He told the UK Sunday Times that he can relate with Batman's anger. That's why he's looking forward to playing the Caped Crusader.
Very angry, Ben Affleck.
He keeps his feelings buried deep inside, and occasionally his frustration comes out in strong bursts, which he doesn't have a ton of control over, he says. Especially when dealing with certain directors, he added.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
I just want to say, I don't know if he understands the character of Batman, if that's what he thinks Batman is.
I'm really angry now!
Batman, yeah, he doesn't have temper tantrums.
No, he doesn't.
He's avenging the death of his parents and looking out for everybody else.
But he's really angry about that, the death of the parents.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you call him angry?
I wouldn't call him jolly.
Yeah, good point. Emo.
You know who I would call jolly? Bill Murray. He's at it again. He showed up at another house party. Apparently, these people were having a party, and the guy who was catering it was an old friend of Bill Murray's, and they said, well, tell Bill to come by if he wants to, jokingly. And this guy did, and Bill Murray just showed up at their house and started dancing with them and he did an extensive air guitar solo to Tommy Two Tones 8675309.
Jenny.
And apparently, everybody had a good time, including Bill.
Let me tell you something. Lord willing, he does this until he leaves this world. And then after that, there are more stories about, you know who showed up there? Bill Murray.
He becomes a legend.
He could be our new Tall Tale, our new American legend.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Mm. I loved him so much a couple of weeks ago, ripping tickets at that minor league baseball game. Just standing out in front of the stadium. I mean, it's just the craziest places he shows up.
He's becoming like an urban legend. Yeah. He's like the Jersey Devil or something.
Yeah, Johnny Appleseed. Bill Murray seed. Something we all want. Face, neck, and chest.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Bobby Lee is 42 years old today. Actor Malik Yoba celebrates his 47th birthday.
Do
or not? I'm sorry, that's a Yoga,
yeah,
not Yoba.
Yeah,
my bad. Kyle Chandler is 49. Baz Luhrmann, film director, most recently gave us The Great Gatsby, of course.
That's a real film director right there, Smith.
No kidding, man. No kidding. I'm not fit to share that birthday because I'm in August.
I heard Baz Luhrmann is working on a film where a guy gets sewn him to a kangaroo costume. It's an Australian version.
That'd be funny if he did that.
It's called Roo.
Roo.
It'd be awesome if he completely ripped off your idea, did it, and made like $200 million.
Made it a musical.
He
made it a musical.
I'm utterly okay with that. As long as people go like, didn't you do one of these? Like, yeah, but way less money.
All right, Bass, you've got the green light. And TV host Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Cassandra Peterson, celebrates her 63rd birthday today. I'll tell you, the people who come up with the ideas for characters who wear makeup all the time are geniuses, because she can be Elvira till the end of time, just like Jim Simmons could be the demon till the end of time. You never have to age.
She's got the Comic-Con, right? Her and Stan Lee have Kamikaze.
They work on Kamikaze
together.
That's right.
Yeah. She still looks great. She's still hilarious.
Go see Tusk this weekend when it comes out. I promise you, you haven't seen nothing like it.
It does not look great and is not hilarious like Elvira, but it is definitely worth your time, man. If you want to see some whimsy, you want to see the product of chasing whimsy, if you will, please go see Tusk this weekend.
Thanks for coming in, Kevin Smith.
Thanks for having me, man. I can't wait to see you on Babel, and I'm happy to see you guys as well.
Thank you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, don't forget, big night on K-Rock tonight, a special evening with Coldplay, is going to be live on the radio, commercial-free, from the theater at the Ace Hotel. Can't get in. No more tickets to be had. We gave the last pairs away this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but you can hear the show tonight. Coldplay fans, 8:30, right here at 106.7 KROQ. Our old friend Travis Pastrana is on the phone. I don't even know between Rally Car and Moto X how many medals this kid won at the X Games, but he continues to entertain with two great events coming up in Southern California over the next couple weeks. Travis, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Doing great, man. Good to be back in California. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, and I want to talk about both the Rallycross and the Red Bull Street Rhythm event that are coming up, but I want to ask you about something first that you posted some information on your Twitter page about that I was just fascinated with. You did something underwater with Red Bull that sounds like one of the coolest things ever. Tell me about it.
Man, actually, it was really cool. They take you – they're athletes or so-called athletes, whatever we are, but they've got a pretty – you know, wide variety of people around the board that are sponsored by Red Bull, and they basically take you in the off season and test you mentally, physically. So they had this one thing, and they kind of said, hey, would you like to do a freediving class? I was like, yeah, sounds great. And they go, okay, all of you are going to go at least 100 feet underwater, and we're going to have you walking on the bottom of the ocean in Hawaii, basically underneath a submarine and next to a shipwreck. And I was like, sign me up. This sounds awesome. So we got hold of my breath for over 5 minutes in a week. So I mean, just kind of mind over matter thing. Just shut your brain off, and I was always pretty good at that. So worked out awesome.
I'm amazed because most people, when you think about how long you can hold your breath underwater, I mean, if you last a minute, you feel like you're doing well. How can you not breathe for 5 minutes? I don't even understand how it's possible.
Oh, simple competition. Trying to beat everyone. There was one guy, the Red Bull video game guy. I was like, okay, I at least got to beat this guy. We got this. So no, it was just really fun. I was just good. Actually, a couple of people that went on that also went on one where they took them. They said, show up at the LA airport. This was 2 weeks ago. Didn't know where they were going, and they took them over to basically Australia, and they took them to a zoo. And so these are all the poisonous creatures and creatures that can eat you. And these are the Navy SEALs you'd be going with. They took them, skydove them into, like, the outback and said you got to walk approximately 50 miles a day through the outback. And then, it's pretty regulated, but it's kind of neat to have that option to, you know, get you a little out of your element but still test you when you're in your off season.
Red Bull is just screwing with its athletes now, aren't they? They're just seeing, hey, what crazy stuff can we make them do?
That's exactly what's going on. they call it training.
That is so fascinating. Is there a mental process that you go through before a race or before an exhibition or something like that? Is there something that you have to do to psych yourself up or some way you need to block out the outside world? Like, what's going on in your head right before that starting pistol?
Well, that was really cool about the kind of the breath hold thing. And they, before a race, your heart rate's, go on about 120, like you've heard in NASCAR or whatever. It's like,
man, I got to get this calmed down. I got to be focused. And, you know, if you're doing it for 3-4 hours, the rally races sometimes are 3 days, you know, when you do the Rally America stuff. So it's cool to be able to, you know, right before the breath hold, they're like, okay, this is how you breathe up. You know, basically this is how you control your heart rate. I mean, you can get your heart rate down in the 20s.
That's amazing. Mental.
So it's pretty cool to kind of learn a little bit more about your body and be able to apply that to, you know, to not stress it out so much and, you know, being just that little bit quicker off the line.
That is really, really interesting. I got to look into more of that. I mean, I think all of us could use some of those lessons that they teach you about just being able to be calmer, because we do just get riled up, whether it's work stuff or traffic stuff or whatever it is. Don't you think that we're kind of killing ourselves slowly with all the stress that we're putting on our bodies, Travis?
Well, you guys might be killing yourself slowly. I'm doing it a little bit faster.
You're in a race to kill yourself. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the events you have coming up. Very, very cool things in Southern California, including this weekend. You're going to be at the Port of L.A. in San Pedro. It's been a while since you've been down there. The Red Bull Global Rally Cross, bigger and better than ever. What's going on, Travis?
Nah, it's really cool. Red Bull took over the GRC, Global Rally Cross program, and took it to all these awesome locations. You know, so we got a doubleheader today, or not today, but this weekend, sorry. So qualifying on Friday and then open, racing on Saturday, Sunday. You get the best in the world. It's really a series that's taken off. And, this course is really good because it gives us, it's a little bit wider than most of the other courses. So either way, there's either a pile up and carnage in the first turn if it's not. But for the driver, we got a really good race course this weekend. So looking forward to getting out there, with my teammates Bucky Lassick and Sverre Isaacson. We've got a good car with the Subaru. So I'm not doing a lot of these events, just with everything else with Nitro Circus and, just basically now with a 1-year-old kid and a wife trying to pick and choose my battles. But, I tell you what, this looks like too good of an opportunity to pass up, and, it's going to be some great racing out there.
How big are the jumps? They're like 70 feet, right?
It depends. The Europeans came in and they have all these rules and regulations. I'm not, killing drivers and stuff. I tell you, it's just been cutting the jump size down, but hopefully for this one we'll have some pretty big jumps. We used to have over-unders like at X Games and stuff, but now they had a few guys that came up short and, I don't know, some cars caught on fire and blew up, and I just, it's too video game-like, but they've got some pretty big jumps here, so looking forward to having some fun. But the main thing that's going to be good this weekend is, the Joker is going to separate the guys, which is, Joker's like a shortcut route. So they've been listening to the drivers a lot, and the racing's just been getting better and better. So I'm excited to get out there and, hopefully be running near the front of this thing.
I mean, just to see these things in person, to see cars that are going 0 to 60, in 2 seconds or less, I mean, it really is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, so that's this weekend, September 19th through the 21st at the Port of L.A. in San Pedro. You can get those tickets at RedBullGlobalRallyCross.com for details. And then the return to motocross, Red Bull Street Rhythm. That's coming up on Saturday, October 4th at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. This was a little bit of a surprise for me to see on your schedule, Travis. What's going on?
Yeah, my parents, too. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, no. USA Today or something did a big story. They're like, return to motocross. I'm like, no. I don't. Never said I was retired, but I don't know that I'm back out. But this, again, just there's so many of these events are just too good to pass up. So basically, it's everything that I love about motocross. You got the huge jumps, you got the whoops, and you don't have to turn. You don't have to slow down. Just go as fast as you can for 3/4 of a mile, and you can bump the guy beside you, knock him off the track, do whatever you need to do. So I got a 500cc engine, basically just a RMZilla, like this beast of a motorcycle, and I'm just hoping to intimidate the other guys and maybe throw in a backflip or something just to throw them off or scare them to death and maybe get to the finish line first. But
awesome.
For me, I saw this event. It's been like literally 6 or 7 years in the making, and I haven't ridden or raced motocross in a while, but mostly from injuries. It takes probably 4 months of serious training to get in shape for motocross. Whereas this event, man, all you have to do is be really aggressive. I can hold my breath for 5 minutes, so this is only going to be a minute race. I got this.
Exactly.
But no, all the best guys. I mean, you got James Stewart coming out and just right, like everybody. So
that's awesome.
It's going to be fun. I'm not expecting a lot out of myself, but man, they said they were holding this event. I was like, hey, Red Bull, sign me up. I'm in, guys.
it does sound like, Travis, I mean, because motocross was kind of your first love, I have a feeling that when you're 80, assuming you live that long, it's still going to be something you're going to want to go out there and do once in a while just for fun, just because you love that thrill so much.
Oh, I tell you what, and I still ride all the time. You know, it's awesome. My wife rides, probably when Addie, our little daughter, grows up, I'm sure she'll be on a bike at one point if she wants to be. But I tell you what, there's such a great family in racing. And no matter where I've been, motocross is where my heart was from the time I was, 3 years old. We were riding dirt bikes. And this is going to be everything that I've liked about racing. Just all out, super high intensity, very short racing. The crowd can see everything. So I think the Straight Rhythm is going to be a huge success. It's not an event that's going to take over the motocross. I mean, motocross is great because, you do have to be such a high endurance athlete. It is such a tough sport. But as far as sheer fun, just going for it, it's going to be hard to beat this.
Here's how I look at it. This is like the home run derby. It's never going to replace the All-Star game, but it's an awesome kind of offshoot of it that's super fun to see people just have a great time doing really cool, fast things.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Great events coming up. And I know you always draw a nice crowd out there at the Auto Club Raceway at Pomona. That is going to be on Saturday, October 4th. Go to redbull.com/straightrhythm for tickets for that. And then, of course, the Rallycross is going to be at the Port of Los Angeles in San Pedro. That's going to be this weekend. Don't get hurt. Have fun. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, Travis. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate being. See you.
Hey, I mentioned the Coldplay show live on K-Rock tonight. Commercial free starting at 8:30 from the Ace Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Next Wednesday, check out our good friend Adam Carolla. He's going to be doing a live podcast show at the Ventura Crown Royal Hotel Ballroom for the Ventura Comedy Fest. His special guest is going to be Steve-O. So if you've always wanted to go see Adam Carolla live, next Wednesday is a great time to do it because Steve-O's an awesome guest. Tickets and information available for you at adamcarolla.com.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
You don't have to come down here at all, David. It's just adamcarolla.com is where you want to go to buy
them. Where can I get them? I mean, they're like,
just
online.
No, it's just online. You don't have to go anywhere. You just do it right there on your computer. Yeah,
can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
No. We don't have anything to do with it at all. No, it's Adam is what it is.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
I don't have it in front of me, but I guess there would be. I don't know why there wouldn't be. You might try them.
David's out.
All right, he's done. Great. Ralph is here. Time for the I Thought He Loved to Rock. That's what I was
That's what I thought he did, too, but I guess he doesn't.
Apparently, he no longer loves to rock.
Nope.
So, here's the Showbiz Beat now with Ralph Garb.
People, let's get to work. Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance. Is not yet fully funded on Kickstarter, and I will not
That's
have it.
Unacceptable.
I will not have it.
Because you're not in the movie if there's no movie.
That's right. And listen, I put down my hard-earned dollars to share the screen with legendary actor Matt Hannon, a.k.a. the Samurai Cop himself, a.k.a. Joe Marshall. And that doesn't happen unless we get this thing fully funded. They need a goal of $50,000 to be completed in 4 days. And they only have $45,785. Come on now. We're right there at the finish line. We're so close. Just a little over $4,000 just to push us over the top.
I'd like to say, by the way, that there's clearly a great deal of affection for Samurai Cop if they've managed to get $45,000 toward making this movie.
Because it's the greatest movie ever. Whatever with your Citizen Kanes. This is Samurai Cop.
How much did you... Do you like what you see?
Yeah.
I love what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Would you like to go out with me?
Yes, I would.
Would you like to me?
Hey, whoa, what the...
Bingo.
That's a lot of questions from that young lady. She could have gone to the last question first and avoided all those other questions she had for Samurai Cop in the hallway
That's right.
of that hospital where she is a nurse.
How much did it cost you to get in the movie, Ralph?
$1,500.
What?
$1,500.
That's more than you make for most acting roles.
That is true.
That's incredible.
That's what this means to me.
Wow.
That's how much of a fan of Samurai Cop I am. I put
Who you
my
play?
Money
Do
where
we know?
My mouth is. No, they don't know. They just promise you something, and then you show up on the set, and they go, oh, here's a tray. Ask me if he wants a drink. You're a waiter. I'm sure it's going to be something like that. But it doesn't matter because I will be sharing the screen with one of my all-time heroes.
That's the only IMDb note that's ever going to matter to you.
It's all that
is
matters,
Samurai
man.
Cop 2.
It's all that matters. You gotta go out there and get your dreams, people, whatever it takes.
Right.
So help me fulfill my dream and give a couple bucks to Samurai Cop 2 over on Kickstarter.com. And
do it. We'll all do it, people.
We'll all be happier. Rihanna is no longer ready for some football. I told you the story yesterday that the last week CBS edited her out of the opening of Jay-Z's Run This Town from its coverage of the Ravens-Steelers game because the network was also on the Ray Rice assault story and they thought it would be awkward, to say the least, insensitive perhaps, to have a football game featuring the Ravens, and Ray Rice plays for the Ravens, and Rihanna was brutally beaten by Chris Brown, so they thought it'd be best just to take her out of that opening segment and play it at a later date. Well, Rihanna said, CBS, you pulled my song last week, now you want to slide it back in this Thursday? No, F you. Y'all are sad for penalizing me for this. So CBS now has responded by saying, yeah, we're not going to use any of that music anymore then. Don't worry about it. We're going to go.
CBS really couldn't win in this situation.
No, they
could
not. The best thing for them to do was to cut bait. And they said they are moving in a different direction with totally different theme music. And so it won't be an issue any longer because that music will not be used. So there.
It's not good CBS for New cares. York. It's not good for America. And yeah. It's not good for the entire world.
That's true.
And so CBS, shame on you. Mm. Shame on you, CBS.
Rihanna's cut-off nose is apparently currently meeting with her spited face to see if they can work something out together. More music news. Ariana Grande's a bitch.
Yeah.
We're just hearing nothing but bad things about this little girl.
Didn't take long for her to turn, did it?
No. Maybe now we know why Sam and Kat was canceled. Maybe Sam was the good one. Or Kat, depending on which one the other one was. I don't know anything about that show. But she was in New York City, and the New York Daily News says she was at a Manhattan radio station signing autographs and posing for photos with some of the staff there when she got inside the elevator, and as they closed, a radio employee heard her saying, I hope they all effing die, regarding the people she was just schmoozing with.
She's a bitch.
Yeah.
By the way, can I point out that nothing good happens in elevators anymore?
That's true.
Nothing good.
That's true. I'm an escalator man myself. Strictly.
You're smart. Yeah. You never hear about Jay-Z getting into a fight on an escalator.
No, it's too much tension. When those doors close, it's just bottled up mayhem. In an escalator, you get room to breathe. Everyone's happy on an escalator. By the way, if you want to get a picture with Ariana during her upcoming tour, you can get a photo with her backstage for a mere $495.
Why not just make it an even five?
Well, Lisa, this way it's a bargain. With $495.
No!
You got a picture with you and Ariana and 4 to 6 other people. Apparently, she won't take any individual shots with fans, so you have to stand with 4 to 6 other strangers. She'll take the picture, and then you can go to a website and you can download it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, good times. Can't wait till she's flipping burgers.
Mm-hmm.
You crazy bitch whore!
Wow. That guy paid the $500, I think, for the photo, and now is not satisfied.
He seems to have regretted his decision.
Today's celebrity birthdays, TV host Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Cassandra Peterson. She has been the mistress of a dream or two of mine, especially around this time of year. You know, Halloween's coming.
Yep.
Halloween spooks, just saying.
Oh, yeah.
63 years old today. Baz Luhrmann is 52. Kyle Chandler, the actor, is 49. Malik Yoba celebrates his 47th birthday, and comedian Bobby Lee celebrates his 42nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow is going to be an outstanding program, if all goes according to plan.
Mm, don't make any promises you can't keep, Bean.
We'll catch up with our good friend Coach Sark from the USC Trojans football. We'll talk to Walter O'Brien. He's the man the TV show Scorpion is based on. He has had a fascinating, fascinating life.
Can't wait for this.
And he's got an IQ of over 200 as well, by the
way.
Dr. Drupinski on the program tomorrow. I got a brand new internet roundup for you tomorrow. Actor Dylan O'Brien, the girls love him. One of the stars of The Maze Runner is going to be on the program tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And there's a new band out of Ireland called U2. Familiar with them at all?
No, I'm not.
apparently they got a lot of press last week for putting out a record for free.
Oh,
apparently
that's the people can't sell a record. They have to give them away?
Yeah, that's I've heard the about one. Them. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, wait. Or they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they're the most successful alternative rock band of all time.
Right. I was thinking of V2.
I'm sorry. Bono from U2 joins us on tomorrow morning's All New Kevin DeBeat Show. Hey, we'll see you then.